This is episode number 6 of the Interactive Distractions Podcast for the week of December 24th, 2007.
It's time for me to talk.
On this entirely screw-terrific episode, we've got this week's distractions, gaming news, our feature on portables, new releases, spoiler, there are none, listener email, and the festive question of the week.
Hello and welcome to Interactive Distractions, episode number 6.
Two hands.
Hey, we're on two hands, guys. Isn't it? That's awesome.
Two hands.
Yes, yes. I am Chris, and I am back from vacation, and I am here with Jason.
Hey.
And Jeff.
Ho, ho, ho.
Wow. How are you guys doing today?
I'm doing okay. I'm a little stressed. 'Tis the season. I need some Xanax or something. I don't know to get me through this.
But... a few drinks.
Other than that, pretty good. That too. Cool. That comes later.
Drinks are good. Jeff, what's going on your side?
Not doing too bad. Got a leak in the apartment. That kind of sucks. I thought we had a bed, so I checked out the neighbor's side, and it's like a fucking swimming pool over there, so I'm feeling better about myself.
What happened?
I don't know. We had a big snowfall about a week and a half ago, and now it's all starting to melt because it's warmer.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And it's all decided to go through our roof, so...
Yeah.
Good times.
Oh, God. Oh,
perfect time, too, because no one's going to be around, and this has to be fixed. And what sucks is our landlord just sucks balls, because we told him about this like a month ago, the first time we saw signs that it could be a leak. He's like, I don't want to have people there in a couple days. Yeah, not happening. Till today, we finally called, and we were like, listen, come check it out now, because it's pretty bad. And it's really bad, especially next door.
Oh, boy.
But, hey, I got myself an MGD. An American beer. You can enjoy it and forget
I'm
about
sorry.
It for an hour and a half.
Yeah, I'm sorry, yeah, too.
I actually like MGD, man. Out of all the American beers I've tried, it's probably one of my favorites. But
fair enough.
I guess that doesn't say much.
Yeah, we actually we went out for Japanese yesterday, and I ordered a beer. I was like, yeah, I like Japanese beer. And the guy looks at me. The guy behind the bar looks at me and says, yeah, that's actually brewed by Budweiser. I'm like, what? It was a Kirin Ichiban. Whatever. Yes, Japanese beer brewed by Budweiser. I was entertained by that. Anyway, I looked at the bottle, and it said Anheuser-Busch. So lo and behold, it was true. And apparently Asahi is also brewed by Budweiser. It's a Japanese beer that they like license the brewing rights to Budweiser, so that
exactly.
They don't have to import it and all that crap. But
yeah, a lot of it's like that. I'm pretty sure the Budweiser here in Canada is actually brewed by Molson.
Well,
that's pretty fucked up.
Yeah.
Lucky bastards. Man.
That's why our Budweiser actually has more alcohol percentage.
Ah, bastards.
You guys got it good up
still
there.
Tastes like piss, though.
Well, you can't expect much from a mass-produced American beer.
Yeah.
If you want an American beer, you have to get one of the smaller breweries like Anchor or even Sam Adams or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Anyway.
So now that you guys joined the Alcoholics and Beer podcast.
Yeah, that was our tangent for the
throw you guys a curveball, huh? Didn't see that coming. Should we actually talk about video games?
Yeah, I think we should. What have you guys been playing this week? Jeff?
Quite a bit, actually. PS3, you guys were talking, Jay was talking about Unreal. I decided to go rent that. I've been playing that on the PS3. It's Unreal. That's basically what it is. It's if you played Unreal 2004, if you played Unreal Championship 2, you've played Unreal 3. It's got a facelift, of course. It looks more kind of Gears of War style graphics. Looks really nice for an Unreal game, but it's still, you can tell, basically, there's a lot more happening on screen. So when you put Gears of War up on a screen and have this, you can see there's quite a big difference. I think people are growing tired of the Unreal, though. I've noticed online, I know on PC, it sold pretty bad. I think 30,000 copies or something like that in its first week. And this is a game that sold a shit ton on PC.
See, I've been disconnected from everything, so all of this stuff is news to me.
Mm. And what... I don't know. There seems to be a pretty big community on PS3. A lot of games are going on and stuff. And I can totally tell, too, that a lot of the people playing it aren't really into the Unreal. Like, they probably haven't played them before or not, because little things that you do in a game of, say, Halo or Call of Duty 4 or Resistance, you just can't do in Unreal because you'll die very, very fast. Like, camping, if you camp Unreal, you'll be found in 2 seconds, you're dead. Traveling in groups is a very bad idea in Unreal, especially when you're doing like team deathmatch, because in a lot of other games it would just be like, hey guys, let's all stick together, that's fine. But there's so many weapons in Unreal that can take out more than one player at one time. You see a group of people, you're just laughing. Take them all out. But it's fun. It's fun. It's just I think I'm kind of over Unreal now. They do a lot of things right, especially with the online. It's finally a PS3 game where I can open my own game, invite my friends to it, mm-hmm. or join my friends who are already in a game, and that's really cool. They still don't have an option where you can actually read your messages at any time, which is kind of annoying, so you can get people playing the game. Same game as you sending you messages, they'll say so-and-so sent you a message in the actual game, so not the little pop-up that shows up. You know, when you usually get a PS3 message and it comes up in the top corner. It's actually like a message system just for Unreal, and you still can't read that unless you get out of the lobby you're in, go to the title screen, go to messages, and check it out. But yeah, I'm liking the game. I don't know if I'll buy it. I'll definitely keep it. I'm going to keep it a little bit overdue. And, yeah, it's fun. Played with a couple guys from the boards the other day, and it was a lot of fun. And, oh, yeah, I know that the mics don't work in the game at all.
Really?
I thought people just weren't talking. Apparently, it screwed up. The whole chatting system doesn't work. So,
man, figure it out. It's not hard. I would think it wouldn't be hard. There's a lot of people that do it right. Mm-hmm. You know, just find out what Warhawk did. At least their chat worked.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, it's Epic. They've had voice chat in every single one of their games they've pretty much ever released on the console, and somehow they couldn't get it with this one, which actually has me worried that it is something to do with the PS3 architecture. Because why is it only the PS3 these games aren't getting proper voice chat?
Yeah, true.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It doesn't make sense. One thing I am looking forward to, though, in regards to the online with Unreal, is they're offering user-created content on the PS3, which will be, if people take advantage of it, it'll be pretty awesome. I mean, people on the PC have been doing it for years with not just Unreal games, but Half-Life, Quake, whatnot. I mean, Counter-Strike was made on the Half-Life engine that became a retail game. So
yeah, right. And the Unreal engine is pretty easy to program for, actually. I'm concerned about the fact that you need to buy the PC version of the game mm-hmm. in order to get the editor. Yeah. And there's not there's not much incentive for someone, you know, who's already got the PC version to port their mods over to the PS3. I don't know if it's an easy process or what, but I think
it's a downloadable software that you could get, and then it was like it would convert the stuff.
So you need the actual software on your computer to run, as far as the engine is concerned. Like, you need the game to be able to run the creator software.
Gotcha. That makes sense, I guess. But
I'm afraid that the PS3 kiddies are just going to be the bastard stepchildren that are going to get hand-me-downs every once in a while.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So, seems that way.
Potential there, but I'm worried.
Yeah, it could be kind of scary. It depends. There's already user-created stuff on there. There's a few maps, which kind of disappointed me too, because it's not just downloadable from the game, which I really wish it was, and I hope they change it. You can't just go to like a downloadable content section, download some user-created content. From what I've been reading, you have to download it on your PC, basically copy it to like a flash memory card, and then again install that onto your PS3, which is annoying when you're playing in a room, all of a sudden the person who's hosting it has this new map. It goes to that map, and anyone who doesn't have it, kicked out, and nothing you can do about it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that kind of sucked.
Yeah, it does suck.
And they need to have a rating system too, for that one reason too. Like we talked about Little Big Planet last week, how if people just make a bunch of crap and throw it out there, and you don't know whether or not it's good.
That and Necrochrome.
Yeah.
I'm sure it'll be a trial and error type thing. That this is the first time that anybody's really done anything like this on a console for a first person shooter. So.
Hopefully, I mean, Halo as well.
Well, I mean, Halo doesn't create your own maps, right?
No.
Yeah, no, the maps are already there. It's just you're manipulating stuff on the map.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Right. Where this is like you're creating your own maps. So it's, it'll probably get better. It's just a matter of Epic, learning.
And Epic did even say it hasn't been officially confirmed yet, but they're basically saying that they're working on a deal with Microsoft to have the same type of stuff on there. But I have a feeling Microsoft won't be as open as Sony is. It's not going to be like an open community type thing where you can just download anything. I have a feeling it's going to be one of those things where you create some user content, submit it. It's got to be kind of like judged by some kind of committee. Then they throw it up on Xbox Live. Exactly. Which I don't see anything wrong with that, because that'll also make sure it's quality stuff going through the channel. And I can see where Microsoft's coming from. They don't want an open network. Like the second you have an open network, stuff like that, you can have people hacking into stuff or altering things to do with the system. And it sounds like a great idea on paper, but there's a reason why PCs have all these issues that consoles don't.
Yeah.
So, but it's a fun game. I think it's kind of they need to change something for the next one for sure. They have to change some type of gameplay mechanics, because it's literally been the same game for 9 years, same weapons and everything. It's same feel. The stages are still kind of same kind of thing you've been used to. They need to change it up, and I think consumers are showing that need to just simply by not buying the game, because that's what decides. You know, that's the biggest kick in the balls the developer can get, is people not buying their game. And it looks like their whole made by the guys who made Gears of War kind of marketing didn't really work. And but hey, that's a PS3, 360. I don't think I played anything on on 360 last week. What I've been playing the most is my PSP. Still playing Castlevania. Finally beat that Grim Reaper.
Oh, that makes one of us.
Yeah, beat the thing, and now that I've did it so many times, I can now beat him without actually even getting hit, which is kind of cool.
Wow, you'll have to fill me in on what you're doing for that.
I will. It took a long time. It took me, like I said, about 15 chances. But what pissed me off even more is right after that level, I'm sitting there like, okay, finally, all the stress gone, I beat the guy. Next level, what you have to do, you have to fight like 5 bosses in a row. And I was like, oh my god, I tried once and I would get to like the 4th boss or the 3rd boss, then I'm like, screw this, I'm moving on. So I moved on to a new game I actually bought, which was did I talk about Siphon Filter Logan Shadow last week?
No, you said you downloaded the demo or something like that. I don't think you actually talked about it much though. Maybe.
Okay, yeah. Actually bought it, and that game is awesome.
I've heard that. I've heard really a lot of people talking about it.
I haven't played a Siphon Filter game since the first one.
Yeah, same here.
And I loved it, and I just heard bad things about 2 and 3 and whatnot, and I heard the PS2 version was atrocious. And then I read a bunch of things. People recommended it to me on the boards, and I gave it a shot, and it's amazing. First, it doesn't look like a PSP game. It looks like a PS2 game. Like, the lighting effects, the particle effects, the everything in it, it's just... Looks gorgeous. If you want to show someone in a game, say, like, this is what the PSP can do, you show them this game, they're like, holy shit. The controls work really well. I was afraid that a game like that, third-person shooter, where you have used the analog nub to move and you actually use the buttons on the right to control your aiming, which takes a bit to get used to because you hit Y, you hit triangle to like look up or down, depending on whether you play inverted or not inverted, and X looks down, O and square, right and left. And once you get used to that, it works really well. And it uses a Gears of War kind of cover system.
Hmm.
You stick to cover, you kind of lean out, lean up. And this is why I think it works, because it's not so run and gun. So you're more like stop and pop, so you can kind of sit there and chill and kind of plan out your next shot and whatnot and take out guys. Story's really, really good. Seems to be flowing. One thing I don't like, it's the same kind of issue I had with the Uncharted demo, but it's a lot more prevalent in Siphon Filter, Logan Shadow, is the whole shooting guys and having they do not react. If you hit them in the body, the leg, or whatever, they don't react at all. You basically have to hit them 4 or 5 times in the chest to drop them, or like once in the head. But they don't react whatsoever to individual shots, which is kind of annoying. But you get used to it. It is just a handheld, so you don't expect it to have these crazy, you know, reactions. They have been playing.
So are they bullet sponges? Like you said, like
yours. That's exactly what they are. It's just. You can see where, yeah, you're basically filling them with lead until they drop. But if you can get a good headshot, they'll drop in one shot. But even sometimes, not like you have a sniper rifle. I've shot people right in the head, right in the face with a sniper rifle, and they might not die. But the thing is, you can hit them. They don't always die behind cover. Sometimes they just sit there staring at you, shooting. You shoot them in the head. They're still standing at you, shooting. The AI is pretty bad for the enemies in terms of like their reaction to you shooting at them, or even your placement in the level. You can sometimes, if a guy takes cover behind a door and he doesn't come out for a bit to shoot you can literally walk around the door, face him, and it'll take him a couple seconds to realize you're standing right in front of him. It doesn't happen all the time, but it happens quite a bit. But the game's just so fun, you kind of just let it go. It's like, okay, it's a handheld, and if the AI did react really quick, and that might ruin the whole game and the whole pacing of the game, because the control scheme is slower than your traditional third person or first person shooter, because you don't have that second analog. So it kind of keeps everything in check. But yeah, I recommend it to you guys. Definitely give it like a rant, or if there is a demo, download it. It's pretty awesome. I know you guys aren't huge shooter fans, but...
Oh, but this is third person, right? I'm sorry.
It is third person, yes.
Yeah, I don't mind third person shooters. It's the first person perspective that gets me, and the biggest reason behind it is peripheral vision. And you have none.
Yeah.
You have a first person shooter. And that kind of bugs me. When you pull it back to a third-person view, you get some sense of peripheral vision, and it makes it easier to play the game, in my opinion. I mean, that's my main thing with it.
Yeah, and I can understand that for sure.
Yeah. But
Another game I picked up for the PSP was one I wasn't quite sure if I'd even like that style of game, because the last time I played a game like it was Shining Force 2 on the Sega Genesis.
Oh.
And I remember liking it, but kind of like, meh, not so great, I guess. But I heard a lot of good things about Jeanne d'Arc, so I picked that up. Again, awesome. Like, I did not think I'd like the game at all. And I think why I don't think I like it is because it's a turn-based strategy game, and I think playing that at home on my, like, you know, big TV, surround sound, stuff like that, playing something like that on that TV just kind of is too slow-paced, I guess. I kind of want something more fast-moving, but having it on a PSP, it's perfect.
Yeah.
I really like it. It's
such a great
game. The battles are fun. It's, yeah, I thought I'd hate it. You said, what do you say, Jay?
Such a great game.
It really is.
No, yeah. I really, you guys both have it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I honestly didn't think I'd like it, and now I'm loving it. Now I can't wait to actually play through it, and I keep hearing good things about Final Fantasy Tactics, so...
Did you play Final Fantasy Tactics on the PS1?
No, I never did. Like
and
I said, I never
definitely,
played it.
Definitely should check it out.
Really?
Yeah, if you like Jeanne d'Arc, then you'll probably like Final Fantasy.
But not on the PSP.
Cool. Yeah.
I can't recommend it to anyone. I really can't, just because of the slowdown issue.
From my understanding, the slowdown is all in all the same spots that it was on PS1.
Not true at all. Not
really?
True at all. Yeah, 100% on that. Seriously, I explained it before. If you just throw a stone, there's slowdown. It's ridiculous.
Wow.
Seriously, come over. I will show you the actual difference. So,
okay.
Is it constant too, Jay?
Tactics in it? It is constant. It's for any magical attack.
Really?
Any special ability, there's slowdown.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's kind of annoying. In Jeanne d'Arc, it's kind of when you pick like some kind of spell sometimes or some attacks, you can tell it's loading it from the disc. But that's like kind of like just a slight pause, but I haven't noticed any slowdown. So.
Yeah, it doesn't really interfere in the gameplay that much, though. You know, it still moves pretty quick.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah,
it's fine.
Have you gotten a chance to mess around with the Burning Aura and the...
Oh, yeah. I'm about... I'm a few hours in. I didn't realize how to shop before because the game doesn't... when you beat a level, you guys know, when you beat all, you do whatever you have to do for that level to win the battle, then you have a chance to either go back to that level and kind of practice battling to level up, or you can shop. And I wasn't aware how you shopped. So for like 2 or 3 hours of the game, I wasn't buying any new weapons. I was getting the kind of upgrades you get in battle, but I didn't have any upgraded armor or nothing like that, because I didn't know how to, I was going to the back of the city and said, shop. I'm like, hey, I want to shop. I'd hit X. And then it would be like, hey, you're going into battle. I'd be like, no, I just want to shop. Like, I figured it would be like an RPG where you go to the town, you have to find a shop, and then buy some shit. But I didn't realize you have to go to the town, hit triangle to bring you up to that menu. And then in that menu, there's an option to shop.
Oh, yeah.
So, and I'm not one to read manuals, so I was like, what the hell?
What is this manual you speak of?
Exactly. What is this, the art book?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Well, cool.
But no, it's really cool. I think it kind of opened up a whole new genre of games I'm going to try to get into, definitely on the portables.
Good.
And then definitely has me interested in more stuff even on the DS, like Final Fantasy XII, Revenant Wings, and that kind of thing. But I'm loving it.
Cool. I'm into the tactical RPGs like that. But when it comes
too.
To like the real-time strategy games, man, I just downright suck at them, so I don't even bother.
Yeah.
I'll do the role-playing ones, but like real-time strategy, like Command & Conquer, StarCraft and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I suck at them. So,
yeah, that's cool. I like it, and it's made by Level 5, the same guys who did like Rogue Galaxy, and
mm-hmm.
yeah, and so the art style is perfect for the game, and it kind of looks kind of cartoony and you know that kind of cutesy way, but the storyline so far doesn't seem that way. There's a lot of cool stuff that happens that's pretty shocking for the art style. It's like, huh, it is kind of darker than they kind of portray in the graphics. So.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. That's basically about it for me. And I can't remember if I mentioned on the last show or not, but my copy of Street Fighter Alpha 3 was kind of broken for PSP.
Yeah, you did mention that.
And so I was pretty pissed off. I brought it back to EB, and not EB, sorry, the store I bought it from, and wanted to exchange it, but they didn't have a copy of it. So I was like, all right, well, that's when I picked up Vice City Stories, and then
that's cool.
Haven't opened it yet, haven't played it yet. But then I was like, called around everywhere, and no one has Street Fighter Alpha. Apparently it was pretty rare, kind of pissed me off, so put me in a bad mood. So that's why I bought Jeanne d'Arc. And then I just said, screw it, went online, ordered it from Amazon, and it got here like 2 days ago. So been playing that too, but it's Street Fighter. No need to talk about it, really.
Yeah.
Well, there's many
reasons.
And
it's easy to pull off moves now with the new D-pad.
Oh, it's so much easier. night and day. So that's all I've been playing.
Very cool.
Not bad.
I just realized that I made a mistake and called you out first, and usually we start with Jason. But that's okay.
Yeah, it's fine.
Well, now we'll go to Jason.
I don't think you cared, Chris. I don't think you cared what I was playing.
I do. I really do, man. I'm sorry. I screwed up.
No, I haven't been doing too much. It's Christmas time. We're under the gun as far as, you know, shopping and whatnot. But, you know, I managed to play more Rock Band, of course, Unreal Tournament 3. This is on the PS3, of course. And I don't have too much to add about that. I definitely see where Jeff's coming from. Shooters have kind of evolved, but I don't think I have, and that's maybe why I like Unreal so much. It's very arcadey, you know, and I can just jump back into the game as soon as I get, you know, killed, and I'm not as intimidated.
And I think that's why the game, I think that's what will have us actually more legs possibly on the PS3 too, is because a lot of people who didn't buy an Xbox or whatnot, this is kind of new to them. Like one of the guys in our board, like Clount, he's from GLF, mm-hmm. he's loving the game, and he doesn't see all the issues I'm seeing with the game, I guess, because he's never played one before.
Oh, really?
So it's all new to him.
Yeah,
so he's like loving it, but
oh, yeah.
I've been playing the same game for 9 years.
Yeah, it doesn't really add too much new, so.
It doesn't add a damn thing. It literally adds nothing.
But it's pretty.
Yeah, even Clown is mostly a console gamer, though. I mean, he doesn't really play PC games much, right?
No,
I
don't know.
Well, I mean, that would explain it. And all the Unreals before this have kind of, on the console, have kind of sucked. So, I mean, this is the first entry into the Unreal area that actually makes sense. It's actually good.
I don't know. Unreal Championship was basically a port of Unreal Tournament 2004.
Yeah, on the Xbox,
was it
right?
A good port?
It was a great port, yeah. It was a launch game for Xbox Live, and it actually sold really well, but it didn't really have the legs on it. But it was the only thing you could really say was crap was no mouse and keyboard support.
Mm-hmm.
Which they do have. I went out and I got a mouse for it. Yeah, I tried the mouse, and I tried to use the configuration like with the controller, and then I quickly realized that you need to be able to hit the buttons as well. So I'm going to have to hook up a keyboard. But I've just got this little itty-bitty USB keyboard for my PS3, so that's not going to work. So, but I'm almost there. The mouse is very responsive. That's about all I can say.
Yeah, and you can tell when you're playing against someone with a keyboard and mouse.
Like, oh, really?
Instantly. Oh, yeah. When you're having people snipe you, when you're on like a one-on-one battle and they're getting you like right in the face as you're moving, and the game is quick. It's faster than any other first-person shooter. And you just know when someone's like, you're kind of dancing around in front of each other, and then you get pinged off in the face.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, mouse and keyboard. Like, because the game moves so fast that another thing I don't like about it and why it hasn't evolved is it's a big rocket and flat cannon whoring game. They're two of the weapons in the game that are really, really powerful, especially their secondary fires.
Mm-hmm.
And because on consoles it's like it moves really quick and not everyone has a mouse and keyboard, it almost renders the sniper rifle and the rail gun or whatever useless. So basically you have people with those weapons just jumping around and firing like grenades and stuff at each other, so you die a lot.
Well, the rockets aren't nearly as powerful as they have been in past games, I think, from what
They have toned it down.
They have. Anyway, 360, Mass Effect, not too much. I've really only played maybe about an hour or so. PSP, I gave Beats another chance. What I started to do is I played the music that they supplied with the title. There's probably about 10 tracks. Kind of sounds like all electronica stuff, but it works a lot better. And I think you have to stick with songs that have a very definitive beat. You can't just put anything on your stick. And what I put on there was just a wide variety of stuff, and nothing was really working. But the tunes that they supplied work rather well, so I'm still going to work with it a little bit. I switched to my PC for a little bit, played some City of Heroes. I'm a sucker for that game, mostly because it's the holiday season, and I want a Santa hat. But
is there still a lot of people playing that?
Yeah, there are. It's still a big game. I'll be playing WoW next week, I think, again when my son's in town. He's a big WoW fan. He's got
WoW player.
Yeah, he's got a level 70 hunter.
Wow, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's level 70 now. Hmm. Little turd ball.
I'm staying away from that.
Yeah.
Dad's got some catching up to do.
Yeah. Like, see, the thing I love about WoW from a parent's perspective is that they have parental controls and you set the time limits for everything.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, you can actually bang out a schedule. So he gets cut off at 9 o'clock every night so he can get to sleep. Otherwise, he'll be up till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. But
yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, I don't have really too much to add for my distractions this week. I had real life stuff going on. That's no fun.
Well, it's Christmas time.
Yeah, you and your life.
Busy. I know. Anyway, so Chris, you've been yes. in Florida for, you know, over a week now.
Yes.
Did you get much gaming in?
Yes.
You did. Please pray tell.
Well, I didn't bring any consoles with me, of course. So I didn't get much console gaming in.
Well, you didn't bring your very portable PS3?
No.
You sit in your pocket.
Oh, yeah, and makes you really lean light. Funny to one side because it's so damn heavy. But I did get a chance to – we have a friend – Jason and I have a friend that lives in Orlando.
Felicia.
Felicia. And her boyfriend actually works for EA.
Shh.
So they have Rock Band, and they have it for 360. So I went over there, and we played Rock Band for a bit, and that was fun. After playing both, I can now say officially that – both games are exactly the same. Mm-hmm. Yay! Like anybody didn't know that.
Thanks for clearing that up, man.
Yeah. But, so that was fun. And apparently, they didn't realize, Todd didn't realize that you could, share downloadable content. Cause I told him about that and told him that's the main reason I got the PS3 version. He's like, you can do that? And I'm like, yes. Cause I bought Pain and like, you know, Jason downloaded Pain off my account, and so did our buddy John. So, and we're the three that are sharing all the songs for Rock Band. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, works out well. My PSP has been mostly confiscated by my fiance Crystal, who is actually in the middle of playing Brave Story right now, and she is way past me in Brave Story now. She picked it up, and she's pretty much been playing that as like every chance she gets. Whenever we had like even a few minutes of downtime, you know, I would pick up the DS and she'd pick up the PSP and we'd be playing for a while. I did get a little while in for Dracula X Chronicles, and it was just enough time for me to get to the Grim Reaper about three or four more times and let him pretty much kick my ass every single time. I still cannot beat him.
It's and just I patience. Don't,
The worst thing is that, I mean, it's been a long time since I played it on the Turbo Duo. And I did beat it on Turbo Duo. I didn't get any of the side pads or any of that. But I do not remember having this much trouble with him on the Duo.
Yeah, he was a bitch.
Oh, man, I'm having a huge problem.
You're getting old, Chris.
But yeah, that's what it is. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know, because I was kicking the shit out of some other Castlevania games, man. But I'll get to that. I played Contra 4 a little bit. Everything you said was right.
Yes.
I put it on easy, and that man, they kicked my ass. And the Konami code, it might be a different way to put it in, but the you know, doing it at the title screen doesn't work. It didn't do anything for me.
It could be where it is where you put it into.
Yeah, it's possible that you can put it in at one point or another, but wow, you know what? I had a very Konami week. I just happened to be looking at my list, and everything on my list is Konami. Wow. All right. Anyway, but yeah, I got to like they start you out with 10 lives.
Yeah.
And you know, you don't get the 30 that you got in the NES version, but they start you out with 10 lives, and yeah, I was just getting murdered. I mean, and it's exactly what you said. I mean, if you actually took away that top screen and, you know, and cut that game in half so that you didn't have to move your eyes up and down.
Yeah, it'd be easier.
It would probably be a whole lot easier, but man,
yeah.
It's like you'll just all of a sudden something will swoop down from the top screen and you're just like, where the hell did that come from?
Yep.
But I did end up getting to like stage 5 or 6 or something. I think I got to, you know how they have the stages in the bases where you can run straight away again?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Brought those back. I got to the second one of those, I believe. And I might have gotten to the stage. No. I got to the boss of that stage and had like one life left, and I was like, "Oh, great!" And then I died. but that, yeah. So that's how far I've gotten on it. I'm gonna play it some more. I mean, I liked it a lot, and I like some of the new weapons too. Like they have the gun that shoots like rapid fire homing missiles. I'm like, shit! I'll keep this gun the whole way, and then you know, a different weapon accidentally falls on you. It's like, fuck. It's like, oh, great, I changed to the machine gun. Oh, yeah, I definitely wanted that. Let's see. What else did I play? I started over in Lunar Knights. I don't know if either of you have ever played that game.
I've been looking
at picking it up, yeah.
This is such a sleeper game. Basically, take Castlevania and mix it with Zelda, and that's what you got.
Really?
Yeah, it's an overhead style play, but you play a vampire hunter, and you actually play as two different characters. One specializes in melee combat with swords and other types of melee weapons, and the other uses guns, and he kind of sucks. At least so far, he kind of sucks. But it's like the one is dark and one is light. So the melee combat dude, and their names slip my mind at this point, but he gets all of his magic power from moonlight, and then the other guy gets it from sunlight. And what you do is, you know, whenever you use like anything that uses your energy, you can get in, if you stand in the moonlight or the sunlight, depending on what character, you get that energy back. Okay. Hey, so it's kind of interesting in that respect.
This is a sequel, right?
Lunar Knights?
Yeah.
Not that I know
to,
of.
There's a game released on Game Boy Advanced a couple years ago. It was, what was it called? It's going to bug the hell out of me. But it's the same kind of thing, but it actually had a cartridge where if you played it during the day and then it was sunny out, you had more health.
I remember hearing about that.
Yeah, what was it called? Oh my god, it's going to bug the hell out of me.
I'm not sure if they're related, though.
Well, they're both. This is made by Konami, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the other one was Kojima made by Konami Studios as well.
Yeah, this is a Kojima game.
Yeah, yeah. So what was the other one?
Huh? Maybe they're related. Yeah.
One of you guys, if you can, just look it up really quick. Just type in Lunar Knight sequel or prequel or something like that. And I can't. What was it called?
Did it come over here though?
I'm pretty sure it did.
See, I don't remember that game coming over here.
It's part of a series. I know that. I don't know if it's a direct sequel though. Like the
I don't think it's a direct sequel. But yeah, Boktai, that's it. Okay. Yeah. Maybe it didn't come out here. Maybe it was just Japan, and I just read about it. But it's cool. It's worth it.
I like it, and you can probably find it pretty budget right now. There's one thing that's kind of like out of place. Like you're a vampire hunter, right? Well, there's more than one vampire that you hunt, and whenever you destroy one, they basically get put in a coffin, and you basically take the coffin to this space station, and it like grabs all the energy from the sun and shoots it into the coffin and destroys it.
Plan
gets weird
all over again.
When you have to do that, you actually play like a space shoot 'em up game to get there. It's really kind of out of place, and you know, you have this Castlevania Zelda style game where you're running around and you're leveling up and you're killing creatures and all this other shit, and then all of a sudden you're a ship blowing shit up. So all
right.
I don't know. It's fun. It's like a little mini game almost.
Did you say top down before? Or is it side scrolling 2D like Castlevania?
It's top down.
Okay.
It's top down, but the screen is I don't know how to explain it.
Like a Landstalker?
No, it's not. Kind of. Yeah, actually it is. But the view is still top down, but your like exits to rooms aren't north, south, east, west. They're northwest, southwest, you know, northeast, southeast.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So but it's still a top down view. It's less isometric than say Landstalker or Alundra.
Okay. Oh, Alundra.
Alundra was the sequel to Landstalker.
Yeah.
But yeah, I definitely suggest it. It's fun, and it kept my attention for the 5 or 6 hours before I started playing Castlevania Portrait of Ruin. And then that was it.
I was gonna say it's all over after that.
Yeah, I have not enjoyed a Castlevania game this much since Symphony of the Night, and that.
Ooh.
That's saying a lot for me because Symphony of the Night is my number one game of all time. Mm-hmm. So
of all time, huh?
Yes, Symphony of the Night is my favorite game of all time, and Portrait of Ruin. It's the last time I had that much fun with a Castlevania game or with a game in general was then. I mean, if Castlevania Portrait of Ruin came out this year, it would be my game of the year. But it came out like December of last year.
Yeah, it was like last year.
Yeah.
I got this limited edition of that, and it came with so much cool stuff.
Yeah, awesome. I have it too. I was using my little Castlevania stylus that like extends.
Yeah.
But I played Portrait of Ruin like mad, And I ended up putting about 20 hours into this game, even though you can beat it in like 10. Mm-hmm. It was one of those things like you guys have been saying with Mass Effect, didn't want it to end. And I just did everything I possibly could. Have you guys played it at all?
Yeah, like I said, you're going to have to help me then, because I got to the point where I played the hell out of it, went away for it for about a month, came back, and had no clue what the hell I'm doing.
Yeah.
I don't know where I'm supposed to go or whatever. So,
Jason, did you play it at all?
A little bit, yeah. I borrowed it from, I think, David. But
well, you know how in Symphony of the Night, went up to 200% because you had, the castle, and then you had the mirror image of the castle, and each one had 100% in it, or 100.3 or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. Well, this one works off of the same type of idea. The castle itself is you can get 100% in the castle, and then there's portraits that you can enter that are different realms altogether, and each one of those portraits you can get up to 100%. So when I finished the game, I had 1,000% because I finished 100% of every portrait.
Wow.
I literally put 20 hours into this game before I ended up beating it.
So you did beat it, huh?
Yes, I did beat it. I actually got the bad ending, and then I got the good ending, too.
Yeah, because apparently you have to do a bunch of weird stuff to get the good ending, right?
Yeah, you kind of do. You have to find a specific spell, and the bosses that you defeat to get the bad ending, you have to use the spell on those bosses.
Okay, now how did you know that? Because this is what bugs me with the Castlevania games is a lot of the stuff like that, you have no clue at all how to do like what you're supposed to do in the game. Is there some point in the game where it says, hey, if you use a spell, you'll get the good ending?
Kind of.
Oh, okay.
I don't want to spoil anything, but you'll know when the...
I know the boss that you're talking about where you have to use the spell and whatnot, but I'm not that far yet.
Oh, really?
Like I said, I don't know what I'm doing.
Okay. Well, it has to do with the shopkeeper. I'll put it that way.
Okay.
The shopkeeper will be your key to whether or not,
get the thing.
It'll be your key to knowing what you have to do to get the good ending.
Okay, that's cool. Did you play Dinosauro at all?
I'm sorry? Dinosauro? Yeah, I'm getting to that.
Okay. Oh, fuck. All right. You played a lot of Castlevania.
I did. As I said, it's been a very Konami week and a very Castlevania week for me. But I went through and I did as many of the quests as I can. Oh, I was so pissed off because I didn't realize that some of the items that you pick up, you are items for quests. So anybody who plays Portrait of Ruin, do not sell anything.
Yeah.
Seriously, don't sell anything. I actually sold two items that I needed for quests, and I can't complete those two quests because I can't get those items anymore.
Ouch.
Are you doing any of the quests for that guy who gives you stuff? His missions? Okay.
Yeah, I completed all of them except for the two that I can't complete.
I haven't done one. I have to find meat for him or something like that. So I went to that portrait thing where there's like the butchers or whatever.
Yeah.
Figured I'd be able to find meat there.
Yeah, you can. But there's a trick to it because, all right, I'm going to give this one away because this one actually –
The game's been out forever, so.
Yeah. It didn't make sense to me at first either, but you don't just the meat that's hanging that you can hit?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You don't attack it with a weapon. You have to just punch it.
Oh, God.
And if you punch it, like, you go Rocky Balboa on it, it'll drop the item that you're looking for.
Yeah. Wow. See, that's the thing. Like, some of those things you would never even think of. And even Symphony of the Night. The first time I played Symphony of the Night, I didn't even know you had magic spells. In terms of like the Street Fighter-esque kind of things, you can like the blood drain where you get health back from killing any enemy that bleeds.
Yeah, Dark Metamorphosis.
Yeah, Dark Metamorphosis. Like, I had no idea until it came downloadable on Xbox Live, and then I downloaded it and I'm talking to chatting to somebody while I'm playing it, and he's telling me about them. Like, I had no idea. He's like, yeah, just do this and this, and I'm like, oh my god, I didn't even know about this.
And then when you play as Richter, he's got all types of moves when it comes to that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I'm gonna open that up for PSP and then play through it. I've never beaten it.
Ah, such a good game. So Portrait of Ruin, got through that, beat the game. The end is, man, I'll tell you what, when I finished, I was like level 73 and I had 990 something hit points. Oh, wow. And I still had to heal like mad for the final boss.
Really?
Yeah, he was, it's tough. And then, they have this one area where it's basically, a one-way street the entire way, and it has a bunch of warp spots, but it's Oh, shit, what is it called? Something Pit of Evil or something like that. I can't remember what it's called. I can look it up if I wanted to. But it's basically – it's a large like map. It's a portrait that you go into, and the whole map is like paths to get to bosses. And okay. You go through like five rooms and then a boss. And then you get to a portal. And then you go through another five rooms and there's a boss and a portal. And you do that like six times, and then at the very bottom there's a like a final boss of the portrait. And it's really freaking hard. So and one of the items for the quests was dropped by a creature that could only be found in this area. And all the rooms are one way, so when you go through, if you kill the creature, you can't go back and kill it again. So you have to go through the entire stage and then warp back and do it again. So that was a pain in the butt.
Yeah, I would not find that fun.
Yeah, it takes a lot of patience. But I'll say this. I went up about six levels doing it. Yeah, but after that, after I beat that, I picked up Dawn of Sorrow again. And I haven't played it in so long. I ended up just starting over. And that was actually earlier today. So there we go. That's my week. I just put down Dawn of Sorrow before we started recording. So there you go.
I can ask both of you guys a question. What do you think of the art direction that Castlevania has taken in the last, like, 5 years? Not including Castlevania Chronicles, because that's kind of a remake.
I like it. Really? I mean, I like it a lot. I liked Portrait of Ruin, the style of it. I liked it a lot because it reminded me a lot of Symphony of the Night, and I think Symphony of the Night was the high point of the series.
Oh, yeah.
And Portrait of Ruin kind of captures that. You know, it's got a lot of it's got a lot of 3D backgrounds, and you know, a lot of the creatures actually have 3D to them. Where it's like the animation to the point where it basically sticks a sprite on a polygon and then uses the polygon to move it around to make it look like it's got better animation than it does.
Yeah,
it uses that effect a lot, and I actually like that because it makes it makes the game look better in my opinion. But I like it a lot.
Are you talking more the actual graphics or like the cutscene cinematics or
more like the cutscene cinematics?
Oh, sorry.
I thought Symphony of the Night did it really well, where it was kind of like an anime look, but with an adult kind of anime look. Whereas Dawn of Sorrow and Portrait of Ruin kind of went
more. They're kind of anime-ish.
Yeah, and that's kind of kind of wish it kind of would go somewhere between Portrait of Ruin and Symphony of the Night would be perfect. I thought Dawn of Sorrow overdid it big time with the characters with the big eyes and, you know, it was kind of, all right.
Oh, guys, Portrait of Ruin does too because...
Yeah. It does.
I mean, big time. It does crazy anime style facial expressions with, you know, whenever someone calls Charlotte a kid and her eyes fucked up and she gets all mad. Yeah. I mean, I'm sorry. I misunderstood your question, but I agree that I liked the way Symphony of the Night did it better with the actual art style. But, you know, it doesn't bother me much because the gameplay itself is what I'm looking for. And
That's all that matters, really.
Yeah.
Cool.
But that's me. I've been the Konami fan lately. I am a Konami fanboy. I am not afraid to admit it. But that's it. Okay, so I've been gone for a week. And I'm really, really out of the loop because I didn't really have internet access for this week. So,
well, luckily, Jeff, we have
everything
Jeff
you're about
to
talk about. Yeah, you need to fill me in.
It's all going to actually be news to you.
It will actually be news to me.
Recycled BS.
That's right.
Yeah, there's not too – you didn't miss too much. Don't worry about it.
Oh, okay. Well.
Got a story here. You know, there's a lot of Activision news actually. But if you guys don't know, a couple weeks ago or might have been – yeah, I guess it was a couple weeks ago by now – Activision CEO Bobby Kotick, basically right before he became the whole Activision Blizzard CEO, he basically told Reuters Media that both Microsoft and Sony, if they were to drop their prices to $199 over the next 2 years, that basically they would see a much bigger increase of sales and it would be good for both Sony and Microsoft. Now, okay, that's kind of common sense, right? That's been the price point for all the consoles. Once you reach $199, that's when it seems like they really take off. But here we go. Our good buddy, our good pal, Jack Tretton, had to come back and say a little thing.
Had to come back and be an idiot?
Well,
basically.
Yeah.
he comes back and he says, like, what he says makes sense, but he's kind of like that. He reminds me of like that kid in, you know, elementary school or high school that you might tell him something, you have like a very valid point, and what he's saying is true, but the way he delivers it is kind of like a, well, it's none of your business anyway, what we do and kind of thing. You know what I mean? Or like what I do. And he comes back basically says, well, okay, sorry, pardon me. Well, I think from an unrealistic standpoint, I'm never surprised by that because a software manufacturer may not be concerned whether a hardware manufacturer is successful or whether they're profitable. He goes on to say, but I think they should be because without the hardware manufacturer, the software manufacturer has nothing to publish on. But, you know, I'm surprised by it because I would never venture to suggest what software publishers should price their software. So I don't think it's appropriate for them to suggest what hardware should be priced at. Which is, he's got a point, but what he doesn't understand is the PS3 isn't the only hardware on the market.
Mm-hmm.
So
what's to prevent them from going somewhere else?
Exactly. Like they're saying, okay, well, that's fine. You're not selling the units that we want you to. And, you know, there's bigger installed base on the Wii and 360. Well, fine. You know what? We'll just go and continue putting all of our lead games on those platforms. And then you guys can get the ports of it all. Right. And like I said, like, yeah, Jack's right. I mean, they should be concerned. Like, that's the exact reason why they should be concerned is because if the prices don't drop, they don't sell, then that just means they're not going to get the software. So do you guys think I think the publisher should definitely be concerned about what the hardware is selling for, because it determines how many software units are going to push in the end, right?
Whether they should be or not, I mean, it's never going to stop, you know. It's something that they are concerned about. You know, what's the point of putting it out on a system that, you know, has no installed base?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the PS3 has a, you know, the installed base is increasing, and, you know, the price drops that they've put out have helped.
Definitely.
But, you know, I mean, I don't know if I'm not sure how to judge how, you know, him coming out and saying, oh, make it $199 when they've dropped it $200 in 1 year. I mean, they've taken steps.
Oh, definitely. But that's where the thing is. He said last month, he said that they should be down to that point, but he wasn't saying they need to be down there. He said over the next 2 years. So basically he's saying if it's not there over the next 2 years, which is reasonable, which is when you look back at it, that's about 4 years for the 360. It'll be three for the PS3. That's usually when consoles in their lifespan drop to roughly around that spot or close to it anyway. So I don't know.
Well, I have to say that Trenton did. You know, that was a lot less idiotic than what I was expecting from Trenton.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. that is true. He just maybe wasn't looking through the big picture, and he's probably just put on the spot, like, what do you think of this? And I don't know. You shouldn't care. It's our hardware. We'll price it how we want to.
But make it affordable,
more Activision.
Please.
Yeah. Yes, anyway. Yes. More Activision news. Talking about idiots. The whole Guitar Hero 3 Rock Band fiasco. Yes, I know we talk about this seems every single week, but there's new news every single week, so we want to relay it on. Basically, the whole patch thing that was all set to go, that Activision apparently stopped going through the channel and getting out there for download on PS3 so you can use your Rock Band guitars, the Guitar Hero 3 guitars on Rock Band.
Right.
They blocked it basically saying that they want to receive a compensation for allowing their hardware to be played with a competitor's software. So they're basically saying, we didn't stop it to be dicks to the community. We're stopping it because we're not getting anything out of this, and we think we should.
Whereas, which is in turn making block dicks to the community.
Exactly. It's being the indirect dicks to the community. And then you have the other side of the table, a Rock Band. You have EA. They're all talking about saying, well, we're here for the community. We just want to get it out there so we can, you know, have people buy your product to play our game on, because right now we don't have another option for Rock Band. You can't buy the instruments in Rock Band separately at the moment. So people on the PS3 are screwed because they can't do anything about it.
Hmm.
And this is just a big shit fest because why aren't they just saying, are you charging for it to be compatible on the 360? I know it probably comes down to the whole Microsoft wireless, like what they have installed in their system. I know it's different. It's their own proprietary
wireless system. The controllers are wired. Well, I'm sorry. The Guitar Hero 3 one is not. My bad.
No, yeah. But the Rock Bands are wired, right?
Rock Band is wired. Guitar Hero 2 is wired.
Yeah. So, I don't know. They gotta fix something, because I'd be pretty pissed if I was like, you guys are like, you guys have people you're playing Rock Band with. You guys both have Rock Band, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So, we have. So it's like they always bring their instruments over when we have like Rock Band Fridays and stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think that's kind of dickheadish of Activision to do. I mean, that it benefits them too in the long run. You know, it's not like it's only going to benefit Harmonix. It's going to benefit them too.
If they allow it, I will go out and I will buy Guitar Hero 3 for the PS3.
Exactly. That's the thing a lot of people will do, or they'll at least buy the guitar, and chances are they'll get the game too, because you're basically getting it for free when you buy the bundle anyway. Right.
Yeah, you get the game for like $30 when you buy the bundle or something, isn't it? Like, yeah. Isn't the guitar by itself like and isn't the guitar by itself like 60?
It's something like that, $69.99, or $59.99. Yeah.
Whatever.
I think it's just a bunch of bullshit. I think they it's a pissing contest to see who's more stubborn. It seems.
Seems to be. It's always about money, and you know, money runs everything. And yeah, one group of one publisher who was actually having a lot of financial issues last year seemed to be going the right direction. That would be 2K Games. Mm-hmm. Their new IP BioShock from Irrational or 2K Boston sold 2 million worldwide.
Awesome.
So they brought in. Yeah, it's not bad at all. Considering Take-Two is so worried about what 2K was going to do, because their big gun, Grand Theft Auto 4, was delayed till next year. They weren't sure what they were going to have to bring in the money and show the investors what they could do in 2007. And BioShock looked like that game stood up and, proved that they could sell a new IP when done correctly. And 2 million copies is pretty damn good.
Yeah, game's quality. I mean, there's no doubt about that. Whether you like first-person shooters or not, like, I mean, I still played the demo like crazy, and I thought it was pretty awesome. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Great game. Speaking of great games and a great month coming up for games for the PSP, looks to be March. Final Fantasy VII Crisis Core has a release date in North America of March 25th.
Oh, finally.
Fucking awesome. This is awesome in more ways than one. One, because it's coming out in March, which is actually pretty soon. I figured it would actually be a bit later. And two is I'm actually going on vacation exactly a week after that, so I can pick up that game and have something to play on the plane.
Well, God of War comes out in March too, doesn't it?
It comes out on the 8th, I believe. It's scheduled to come out on the 8th. So the month for March is looking good for actually all portables. I have a Ninja Gaiden for DS is actually scheduled to come out in March as well.
Oh, very.
By the way, everyone, my birthday, March 22nd, is a good time.
Oh, there you go.
Okay. I'll keep that in mind, Jason.
All right. Just putting that out there.
All right. I put up a donation bar on the site so that people can donate to your PSP or DS birthday.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
Send you good some idea. Shit. More PSP news. The remote play to play PS1 games is finally in effect. Have any of you guys give it a shot? Basically, for people listening, you can now you play a PS1 game. If you have a PS1 game in your PS3, or if you've downloaded one of the PS1 games onto your PS3, you can now play those games anywhere you want through your PSP.
Jeff, I was going to ask if you did it. I'm not able to. My firmware is a little custom. we'll put it that way.
You're saying, Jay? What do you mean by custom?
It differentiates from the officially released firmware by Sony.
Okay.
I mean, I know. Take it as you will.
It's semi-legal.
Oh, I don't know about that.
No, there's not even a semi in there. It's just.
I know. I just trying to be nice.
Anyway,
but
so Jeff, have you tried it?
I have not tried yet. One, I don't have any PS1 games, and I haven't downloaded any of them to my PS3. No, I did finally get my remote play working though. If I connect directly to the PS3, I was doing that the other day, trying to go through and watch some trailers and stuff on there. I thought it was pretty cool.
How do you not have PS1 games laying around?
I have no PS1 games at all. None.
Do I need to send you one or something? I've got NFL Game Day.
You can send me Final Fantasy 7.
Wait, does
which
it,
copy?
Does it
I've got the Japanese version of 7, by the way.
You really?
Yeah.
Does it work with PS1 games, or is it just the ones that you download off of the store?
Games, no, it actually works with PS1 games. Like, you can put a disc in, and it'll play from there. From everything I've read, there is quite a bit of lag on some games, and if you're going to be playing a game that, say, a first-person shooter or a game that's moving fast, some of them almost render unplayable. But if you're playing, like, an RPG or something like that, it's not that bad. You can kind of – it's just cool. I mean, you're playing a PS1 game. You could be, like, across the country or whatnot. And
see, I misunderstood that entire thing. I thought it was just – I just thought it was downloads. If it's actually the discs, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Oh, it's definitely cool.
However, I can see, I mean, considering the amount of time it takes to transfer the information, I can see where there would be quite a bit of lag and it'd be hard to play things.
I've seen some videos of people playing Final Fantasy VII where the lag was pretty, you know, negligible. I mean, it literally was three-quarter to, like, a quarter of a second. It wasn't like you press it and you wait 2 seconds and then it shows up. It was pretty quick.
Right, but that's a long time when you're playing an action game.
When you're playing an action game, correct.
Yeah. When you're playing something like Final Fantasy, yeah, I can see that being a very cool feature.
Yeah, it's fine for that.
Definitely. In fact, I went looking for a copy of Final Fantasy VII. I didn't realize how rare that is now, too. So
it is?
I can't find it anywhere. And apparently it's going on eBay for like $100.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I'm looking at my library of PS1 games, and I just see dollar signs.
Yeah, no doubt.
You can send them over to me if you want. That EA thing we're talking about, EA is offering great games for Faulty Rock Band products. So you spoke of that a couple weeks ago, Chris, when you had to send in your drum pedal and the guitar. They send it back to you, and the drum pedal is still not working. You send it back out. You were saying that they haven't sent you anything saying you qualify for a free game, but apparently if you're sending these out and they're not – it doesn't describe right here where I'm reading this from – what qualifies you for a free game, but basically you'll get an email from EA stating that, you know, we're sorry that this faulty product, we're sorry you're going through all this trouble during the holidays, you want this game to play it, blah, blah, blah. Pick out of this list, you can get a free game. And when I heard about this, I was thinking, oh, great, they're going to give us all last year's editions of sports games and stuff like Fight Night Round 3, stuff that's like years old. But I'm looking at this list here. There's some stuff that just came out very recently. Skate is on the list, Command & Conquer 3, Tiberium Wars, cool. Simpsons game, that just came out.
Oh.
Any of the sports titles, 08, Tiger Woods, NBA Live, NHL, these are all great games that are still full price at stores and retailers. So it's good on EA. They're you know you're making money when you can give out brand new releases for faulty controllers instead of just, you know, being like, all right, tough shit. You waited 4 weeks, here you go, and have fun.
I just got my replacement drum kit. It was waiting for me when I got home, and I still haven't seen any indication, so I think I might call them. Like, hey, I had to get things replaced by you guys. What's going on?
Yeah, you can just go on EA's website, just go follow the links through there through EA software support, and you'll find your way on there. And you can gives you a little readout, little form to fill out, and you send that to them. The cutoff date is actually January 11th, which is my birthday, so get your stuff in by then, and then, they'll send you a free game. I'm just going to send them one just because it's my birthday and be like, listen, bitches, I don't have Rock Band, but it's my birthday.
Everyone's dropping their birthday. Okay, my birthday is January 28th. Everyone else is dropping their birthday, so there we go. All three of us have our birthdays on the podcast now.
There we go. I expect all you guys to write it down, yep. More Sony news, home beta delayed till quarter one, 2008. This is the home beta, not the whole full-blown home. A lot of people expected that this year, earlier this year.
Yeah.
Then in the fall. Early next year. Now quarter one. When they delay something to quarter one, that usually doesn't mean first, like beginning of the quarter. We're going to be looking back end.
February, March. March. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. We're looking February, March, and this is just for the beta. Jack Tretton again, he says, we're looking at the beta in the first quarter of calendar 2008. Not too far away, but he then goes on to say, we're not 100% sure on when the full-blown release will be in terms of an actual date. So, and again, goes back to my whole theory is I have a feeling there's a problem with the PS3 architecture and how it works stuff online that I don't think they can get the features that they told everyone this is going to have in either on time or they're having a lot of problems with it because this is something that should not be taken this long.
I agree. I'm with you.
I mean, it was like over a year ago when they announced it, so.
Yeah, I can't disagree with that, but I will say this again. It doesn't bother me. I'd rather them get it right and take a while doing it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure.
I definitely think that there's something fishy going on if they've delayed it this much.
Yeah, and it would be bad if giving the regular PSN some of the options like the cross media bar in game stuff like that, which should not be that hard. But the fact that they're not even releasing stuff like that out, even in like a patch or one of their firmware, and they're saying, "Oh, we're going to save all that for home," I'm going to call BS and say the reason that's not coming out, even just on the PSN, the most wanted feature is because they're having problems with it.
Well, I see that, and what gets me is that like. I don't know if we've ever mentioned this, but for say Rock Band, and for Rock Band, you can check your messages, your PSN messages via Rock Band. I mean, really? You have to exit out of the game and go to the menu, but Rock Band can't access that. And so can I. And they both access the friends list too. So I don't know. I mean, you would
other games do that. Like Warhawk does that, Resistance does that. So does Unreal Tournament 3. But the whole problem is, what's the point of having that cross media bar on there in a game when you still have to exit out of the game you're playing or the lobby to go to the main screen? Because then it's like, okay, well, welcome back to PS2 days, because that's how the PS2 did it.
It certainly seems like there's not a really solid foundation. Whereas, you know, the 360, you know, it's integrated in almost the same way in every game. And with a PS3, it seems like it's almost a hack for every.
Yeah, instance. Basically.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think they have a lot of work to do.
And it is annoying. I mean, it's easy to say, hey, before Xbox Live came out, this is how online stuff worked. But when you're used to something that flows so easily, and that's just such a simple thing to do, and it adds so much to the games and just to your, you know, it's just so easy to communicate with people, and then you have to go to this, and just such a pain in the ass. And I don't know. We could talk about this forever. It just really ticks me off, especially for online stuff. It's just, I don't know, unacceptable in my eyes.
I agree. I think they need to get on it. There should definitely be – it should not be taking this long.
Yeah, exactly. As much as we want to call out Sony for doing this kind of thing, this is one of the things that actually did not make it on Fortune's 101 Dumbest Moments in Business. However, Sony did make it on that list twice. Yeah, they also made this list last year as well.
What were the two? They made it last year too?
It last year as well. I remember one of them was the whole launch debacle with not having enough software out there, and I think they only made it once last year, but I think it basically revolved on that, not having enough hardware for launch or doing the launch too early or something. There's a link on somewhere in here. I don't have it on here, but yeah, you can check it out.
What'd they do this year?
This year, the first one was the God of War 2 launch party, you guys read it, they had basically a dead goat.
Oh yeah.
Big imagery on there and just kind of gross stuff happening, and people thought this thing was real, and they're saying, you know, so I say, well, we got this goat from a butcher shop, which might be true, but I mean, come on. You have a dead slaughtered goat on this table with people dressed up like Spartans and whatnot, with like swords. Yeah. Not to mention big girls walking around too, painted up. But
no one
complained about that, of course.
What's the other one?
The other one is this one. See, this is, I kind of think this should not be on here in direct relation to Sony, is because it's actually at number 63. It was the whole Resistance Fall of Man basically getting called out by the Catholic Church.
You guys
didn't play Resistance, did you? Yeah, there's a level, there's one where it takes place in the actual Catholic Church that's actually in England. And apparently it's, you know, it represents it pretty well. And they got in a lot of trouble for that. They actually wanted Insomniac to take out that level. And Insomniac basically said, well, no, it's, you know, this is what we want it to be. And it's not hurting anyone, whatnot. It's been done in other games before. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Fortune just says it makes it there because we have the Anglican Church against you. It's hard to look any worse than that.
So why is that a boneheaded move from Sony? I don't get it.
That's exactly the thing. I guess they just kind of put
the together. You offended the Catholics, because that's hard.
Yeah.
And by the way, before people write in, I'm Catholic. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now that that's out of the way.
Good thing you covered that up there.
Exactly.
Floodgates have been opened. But yeah, I don't think it should be against Sony. That's like something Insomniac did. But again, you put Insomniac and Sony. It's like,
They're hand in hand. I mean, Insomniac is one of the biggest PS3 supporters at this point. So,
yeah. A couple more here on. There's a, for all you Kingdom Under Fire fans out there, there's actually a new sequel to be planned. This might become surprising, as Kingdom Under Fire Circle of Doom still hasn't been released yet for the 360. That's supposed to be coming up sometime next year. But they're already currently working on a traditional real-time strategy sequel to The Crusaders, which was a Kingdom Under Fire game.
Cool.
I kind of enjoyed
those games. I thought they were pretty cool. Certainly not AAA titles, but I got my fun out of them. I think they were underrated. They were hard as piss too, so they kept coming back. But I'll definitely give these new ones a shot.
Yeah, the Circle of Doom looked kind of cool. I saw a trailer for it. And apparently, that's not a traditional Kingdom Under Fire game, though. It looks like they went more kind of action oriented. Like dungeon crawling, where
I don't see them commanding any troops or anything really so much, which is what I did enjoy. Yeah, it was a good blend between like samurai warriors or something, not samurai warriors, but dynasty warriors and kind of like a third person RTS type thing. So, well, samurai warriors is, you know, like the offshoot of Dynasty Warriors. If I'm making a broad generalization, I'm going to say Dynasty Warriors, not Samurai Warriors.
Yeah, of course.
My fiance was chiming in the background. I don't know if you guys heard that.
No, I know she's a fan.
Dynasty Warriors, she sucks.
No, she's a big fan of the games because they're senseless, you know, destruction.
X.
It's very good anger management, she said.
Yeah, it is. It's fun. It's fun.
Another game is apparently, well, no release date, but we have some more information on it, guys. And what do we think about this? You might have heard about this before. There's a lot of jokes about it back in the day, but Duke Nukem Forever trailer online now. Come on, guys. What do we think here?
Who gives a shit?
Who gives a shit? Who gives a shit? Who gives a shit about this game in the last 5 years?
I don't know what to say. It's a teaser trailer. It's not like it's in-game stuff.
Yeah, in-game footage. Teaser trailer went online at 10 a.m. I believe it was Tuesday, so that was the, 19th?
Why
I don't know what day it is today.
Bother with a teaser trailer? I mean, I don't know.
Why bother with this game at all?
At this point.
It's a running joke. It's like a running joke in the whole video game community, and you know, it's named Duke Nukem Forever, and
it takes forever to release.
Exactly. But if you want to check it out, you can go to the 3D Realms website. They have it up on there. I'm sure you can find it probably on YouTube by now too. Go out there, check it out. But hey, it's another trailer for a game that we most likely won't see real game footage for another 5 years.
And it's a shame.
I'm running out right now to go watch it. Right. No, I'm really. I promise.
Yeah. Hey, you know, the first one was really good when I played it in like '97.
Yeah, and it was on 64 or whatever.
I played it on my Saturn. I thought it was pretty cool.
I liked the strippers. Oh, was there more to the game than the strippers? I don't remember. I don't know.
With their little dangly...
That's the only thing I remember about the game.
Yeah. Done that.
It was the precursor to the Gears of War story or dialogue. They're about on the same level. Gonna kick your ass. No, that's all the news. That's all the news in the gaming industry.
Wow.
That's all that's going on. Yeah, not bad.
All right, cool. Well, you guys want to take a break?
Let's do
Absolutely.
It.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back and talk about, since we've all been giving a lot of love to portables lately, we're going to talk about the evolution of the portable gaming, and stay with us, and we'll be right back.
All right.
This week's episode of the Interactive Distractions Podcast is sponsored by PocketOtaku.com. Rock the chibi.
Do you hear that?
It's Santa! Santa's here!
No, you idiot. It's almost February. Go get Dad and let's get the gun.
Ho, ho, ho. Wait just a minute there, Timmy.
Santa, what are you...
Catch this.
Ah, my neurons.
Be quiet, Sally, or I'll have to silence you, too.
But Timmy's head is broken.
Broken? Or made better. Don't worry. Now that you've got a brick, you'll never have to cry again.
What am I supposed to do with this stupid brick?
It's not just any brick, Sally. It's a brick. A brick is great. You can put stuff on it. A brick doesn't mind. A brick makes a great stocking stuffer. A brick can be used to defend your home against robbers. A brick can be used as a paperweight. Late for work? Not if you use a brick to smash your punch clock. Yeah, Sally, a brick helps trim your naughty boys and girls list by using him as a projectile weapon. A brick cares. And unlike a message board, a brick won't chastise and belittle you when you share your feelings.
Wow, a brick is awesome!
A brick, now available on www.pocketotaku.com. Warning, a brick is not edible, may cause serious injury if thrown, and still probably won't be your friend if you're touchy-feely.
Hey, welcome back. You guys went and had your cigarettes. I went and grabbed a beer. Because I needed one.
Oh, that's... Actually, hold on 1 second.
Oops, we lost Jeff. Hey, Jeff, we're not cutting this part out.
No.
Just so you know, this is totally staying in.
Man, I want a beer. I don't have any beer here. I've got Vault Zero.
I have leftover from a party that I had.
I'm back.
Are you back?
Back in beard.
Good, because we're definitely not cutting that part out.
Oh, man.
Anyway.
Nice
So, yeah, we were trying to figure out what to do a feature on this week, and with all the portable love that we've been given our PSP and DS, we figured we'd talk about portable gaming, which all started back in the 80s with the Game Boy.
Goodness.
Yeah, but all right. Anyway.
Bunch of black blurs on the screen.
Yes, on a very not...
small screen.
It's all about the Tetris.
Yeah. Did you both have the original Game Boy?
Oh, yeah.
Didn't have one.
You didn't have one?
Ooh, I was a big Sega fanboy back in the day, and I refused to buy anything Nintendo. Actually, it's not really true. I had like an NES for a bit and Super Nintendo stuff, but for the portables, I actually waited for Game Gear. So that was actually my first, I guess, legit portable system I ever had.
So you bought a Game Gear?
I did have a Game Gear, yeah. It was great. I liked it. It had color. Yeah.
It just didn't have enough games. That's the problem.
It was
too expensive.
It was very expensive, and it took so many batteries. I think it was
going to say, yeah. I was going to ask how much you spent on batteries alone for that.
Yeah.
Was it six or eight?
I think I'm pretty sure it was eight. Mm. It actually might have been six, but I know it didn't last that long. I remember if I wasn't playing it like plugged into an outlet, I was getting maybe 2.5-3 hours from batteries. I mean, it was like the PSP, but, you know.
But you couldn't recharge.
No, exactly. It wasn't exactly portable either. It was kind of decent size.
Yeah, I got a Game Boy the Christmas after it came out. I remember I was like 12, and I got it with Super Mario Land.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
And it had, instead of fireballs, you had that weird, like, super bounce ball thing.
That didn't have fireballs?
No, it wasn't a fireball. You would shoot it, and it would just bounce around the screen. I mean, it would, instead of like arcing and just going horizontally, it literally bounced wherever it bounced. It would go all the way up to the ceiling and come back down. And
I don't remember that.
It was interesting. But that and Tetris, and I played Tetris like crazy.
Oh, yeah. I did too. I think I got the Game Boy the first year, and I think I still have pictures of me opening it up on Christmas Day. And I imagine I did the same, like, in a Nintendo 64 kid thing. I was like, Game Boy! My little brother was like, yes! Yes!
I wasn't that bad. I guarantee.
Good laps around the room.
Oh, man. But let's see. What came out in that first set of portables that came out? It was like... You had the Game Boy, and then you had the Game Gear that came out shortly after.
And was the Turbo Express before the Lynx or afterwards? Lynx was Atari's.
I think the Lynx... I don't know. I think the Lynx was about the same time. But the Turbo Express came out almost exactly at the same time as the actual TurboGrafx-16.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and I have one of those now.
The Lynx was before the Game Gear. Or then before the Turbo Express and the Game Gear, obviously. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, I think it was. But I remember the Turbo Express. I remember seeing that. Because, like, the Game Boy was like, black and white. It was, like, a whole new system. Game Gear, same thing. It was kind of like a... It was better than the Sega Master System, but it came out in Genesis time period. So it was still, like, a big drop-off in graphics. But, I mean, Turbo Express played TurboGrafx-16 games.
Yeah. And it was amazingly expensive at that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think it was like $400 or something like that.
It was $400, and I did not buy one then.
I never had one. I just played a buddy of mine.
I do own one, and you want to talk about going through batteries, man. The Turbo Express goes. It takes 6 AA's and goes through them, like you said, with Game Gear, about 3 hours.
Wow. But you got to play a wicked version of Street Fighter Champion Edition came out for TurboGrafx, and that was like the first version, portable version of Street Fighter, and it was fucking awesome.
Yeah, I didn't have that.
Oh, so good. So much better than the Genesis version.
Really? I thought that Street Fighter was only on CD, though. Did they
know? It
was on a Hue card, I think. I don't think it was on a Hue card. I don't know.
Really?
I can't remember. You could be right, though. Because I don't think I actually ever played it on the Turbo Express. I remember playing it on TurboGrafx, and I was like,
I think it was on CD.
I don't remember
anyway.
But it was nice.
I didn't have the Game Gear, but I worked for the video game store while I was in college, and we got a lot of Game Gears coming in that nobody wanted them.
They didn't have the board. There were some good games for it. I remember the Batman Returns game is pretty cool. And the Shinobi, I can't remember what the Shinobi game was called, but it was pretty awesome too. The Sonic games were good. But there wasn't too much on it that I really played a hell out of or whatnot. And all the games kind of seemed the same. Even on Game Boy back in those days, where it was just like you had, you know, generic action game A, B, C.
Pretty much, yeah.
Like rip-offs of Tetris and Columns.
True.
They had some great Final Fantasy Adventure 1 and 2.
Oh, yeah. The, Final Fantasy Legend, I think it
Legend,
was called.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they had a Final Fantasy Adventure, which... No, that was... Final Fantasy Adventure was on the Game Boy 2, I believe, but I think that was a... It was a... it was almost Zelda... I think it was a Zelda-style game.
Oh, really?
And then they had Final Fantasy Legend 1, 2, and 3. I believe.
Because yeah, Legend is what I played.
Yeah. I think I actually had all three of the Legends, and I beat, like, the first one and didn't really get into the others. But,
well, this might be a retarded question, but what do you guys think of portable gaming now? Because I know for me it fell off the face of the planet for a long time.
See, it never did for me. I actually went from the Game Boy, and then I went to the Game Boy Color. I don't know if you guys remember that coming out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And it was out for a short time before the Game Boy Advance came out, and then I got a Game Boy Advance, mm-hmm. And then jumped right into... a PSP when the PSP came out, and then I got a DS after the PSP.
Right. Mm-hmm. I kind of skipped over Color, and I was all about the Game Boy, but yeah, I dropped out for a long time, and I didn't pick up a Game Boy Advance until much later in the game. I think I finally got it because they released
DSP?
Legend of Zelda, actually. That came with the Four Swords Adventure. That finally made me go out and get it.
But. That's when they actually, it was actual really good revision of the Game Boy. I was like, wow, Super Nintendo games, like, in my pocket.
Yeah.
It's awesome. And then they made a huge jump. I mean, do you still play it, you said?
I do.
Yeah, I played it on my DS, though. I still play, like, the Final Fantasy series on there, mm-hmm. or GBA. Cool. But it blows my mind now, though, like, because back then, the portables are such a drop-off in quality, and then now it's just as good as last generation of consoles. I mean, like I said,
easily.
PSP games are just as good as PS2 games.
Yeah.
Graphics, sound, and everything. And DS games, I mean, it runs Mario 64 pretty well, and like, it's
The DS actually clocks in just above the 64 and like in power, I think. But even that is really impressive, especially when you're pushing two screens at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty good.
I don't know. I can appreciate the innovation with the DS. As far as the stylus, and it's really intuitive, graphic-wise, and especially sound quality-wise, I think there's a lot left to be desired. I'm not nearly as impressed with it as as well as a PSP can handle, you know, those same types of things. I understand it's different architecture, but I think I expect a little bit more now that I've been spoiled by my PSP.
Mm-hmm. No, I do agree, but Nintendo has such a stronghold on the market. It's
right.
It's like, they're not going anywhere, and it's almost stupid. Like, if Microsoft ever thought of bringing a handheld in, they should just, like, trash it, because I think it'd be useless. I mean, PSP is selling really, really well, but compared to the DS, it's not selling well, which is, I think, a lot of people kind of look at that and say, hey, PSP is not selling, but it's actually selling a shitload. I mean, there hasn't been a portable system that wasn't made by Nintendo that has sold even close to what the PSP has.
Well, yeah, it was that way for a while. PSP just really wasn't selling that well, and it was catching a lot of flack, I think especially for the UMD format. But just recently, I think probably within the past, 3-6 months, it's been picking up steam heavily.
Yeah, once they dropped the price below the $200 mark, when they got it down to $170, sales took off for that thing, man.
Yep.
And then after the Slim came out too, the Slim has been doing really good too. But I agree with Jason. I agree with you on your point about the graphically that it's a lot less impressive to play a game on the DS. But I think that people are, like, developers are starting to understand that they have the limited graphic quality, and they're doing games like Contra. And
they're
going to
try and optimize for the format, right?
Right, exactly. They're making games specifically for the format. What bothers me about it is that too many games out there are trying to use it's like the Wii in the way that there's too many third parties that are trying to use a gimmicky use of the touchscreen, and it's just annoying. It's like when I was talking about Castlevania earlier, Dawn of Sorrow it's a great game. but I think the use of the touchscreen is unnecessary and kind of pointless.
Yeah, they kind of shoehorned the whole stylus features.
Yeah, I mean, you had to, you know, you use the stylus to break certain blocks and you had to draw the seals on the screen. And I was like, this isn't – it takes away from the feel that is Castlevania. Yeah. And
it makes you hold a stylus in your hand the entire time you're playing it, and you use it once every half an hour.
Right, right. And that's kind of annoying. But, yeah, and I wish that less companies would do that. And Konami wised up with Portrait of Ruin, because Portrait of Ruin –
doesn't use it.
It doesn't use it. And the only time you use it is when you put in your name at the beginning, because the name, you know, you write in your name. And then they have feathers for the map, and you can put a feather in a different, like in a spot in the map, just to, like a reminder to go back to that spot. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much it. And I think that's, you know, that's all it needs. I think that too many people are trying to force it to use it.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the big problems, too, that the PSP had when it was first released, was because it was such a more powerful machine than the DS, is a lot of developers said, you know, we can make a game just as complicated on the PSP, where portable gamers don't necessarily want the same complexity. They want something simple, and the DS basically had those simple games, the ones that did take advantage of it. And I think now developers on PSP are trying to get that that feeling of, okay, we can release a simple game, we can make it prettier or whatnot, and that's why I think it's starting actually to pick up. Because on Nintendo's side, I think they were brilliant in what they did, because I think the whole Nintendo thing with them not advancing their technology with the Wii and with the DS is, back when portables were first around, video games weren't as big as they are now, not even close. And I think now, in the last few years, it's gotten so big that there's been so many people wanting to jump into the industry and give video games a try, but it's basically they're jumping in. Imagine somebody jumping in and playing Halo. It's like their first game they've played. The complexity of like a game like these, or the Final Fantasy games or whatnot, are so big, kind of it's intimidating. Yeah. So now Nintendo takes a step back, and now all these gamers, these new gamers, casual gamers that are brand new to gaming, are loving these old school games that are simple to play, like the Contra 4, which basically is just like Contra 1. It's prettier, but it's just as simple.
Yeah.
And I think that's a great move, because it's getting a bunch of new guy people, and that people trying out video games, and maybe it'll kind of be like that gateway drug where they'll be like, okay, now I'm slowly getting my way into video games, and we can move on to the more complex stuff. And I think that could be why maybe even PSPs are selling as well as they are now, because people are like, hey, I like this whole portable thing.
Yeah,
games aren't that.
That's one of the things that I think Nintendo has been working with, as far as like the way they've been trying to evolve their controller, and they've had all these crappy controllers because they're trying to make the controllers less intimidating. Because there's, you know, you started out with a controller that has two buttons on it, and there's nothing intimidating about that, you know.
But so they then want you've grandma got to be able to play Mario Party with you,
right? And then true. They had, you know, when you look at like the complexity of a 360 controller or an Xbox One controller or a PS1 controller, had like eight buttons and two analog sticks, and there's just so much going on that people that have never played games before are looking at it like, I'm not going to be able to do that. So, but I think that's something that Nintendo's been trying to work on, and you know, they have something good going with the Wii and with the DS. Yes. From a control standpoint, I just wish they would have, you know, put some hardware behind it, because they haven't.
No. I think they will eventually. I think it was kind of an intentional thing where their next version of either one of them will be a lot more powerful, but try to stay the same kind of complexity or actually more simplicity to their games, I guess.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Like I don't know about you guys, but for me, for the most part, on my portable systems, I don't want an exact replica of what I can play on my TV, which I think that's why I'm having so much fun with games like Jeanne d'Arc and, you know, the kind of like a not a dumbed down version of Siphon Filter, but a slower moving one. And because it's something that is different, and it just makes more sense when you're on the subway, or, you know, you're on your lunch break, or you're hiding under your desk playing a game because you don't want to do work, and you have to be ready at any time to be like, oh shit, I got to turn this off, and, you know, feel like you still progress the story a bit or the game.
Yeah. Yeah, the pacing definitely has to be reworked or retooled. It's a different monster.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It comes down to a lot of that. But what do you think the next versions are going to be like? You think it's because, you know, it's going to happen. Like some point out there, there's going to be a handheld in our hands that are just as powerful as a PS3.
Well, I have something before we move on to that. I have a question for you guys. One of the things that I've always thought about portable gaming is, you know, once the PS1 and the Saturn And you know, even far as far back as the Sega CD and the Turbo CD, they once they started putting out the disc format, I was always thinking in my head, I wonder how long it's going to take to make like a mini disc format for portables. Were you guys surprised that it took this long? I mean, one of the things I'm going to preface by saying, one of the things I never really thought about was battery life in this situation, and I didn't realize at the time I was thinking this when I was younger, I didn't realize how much a battery drain the motor for the disc would be. But I was wondered, you know, when are they going to do something like that so that it can have the quality sound and you can have like the amount of information you can have on that, on those, you know, optical discs for a portable.
Mm-hmm. I was kind of surprised at the line, especially when the Nomad came out. That was pre-Saturn, right? The Nomad?
The Nomad? I believe so, yes.
And yeah, the Nomad was, for those who don't know, it was another Sega handheld after the Game Gear, which played Sega Genesis cartridges.
Right. It was the Turbo Express for Sega.
Basically. Exactly. Exactly.
It came out in 95, actually.
Oh, was it 95?
Yeah. When did Saturn come out? I'm sorry, I'm Wikipedia and all this stuff while we're talking about it.
Saturn, I think, was 96. I could be wrong.
Saturn was in America May 11th, 1995. So it was.
It was around the same time.
Yeah, it was around the same time.
Okay, so that's why it surprised me, because it was kind of like the portables kind of stayed stagnant, and the whole goal of the portables at that time was, let's make these systems as powerful as our last generation console. Whereas this time it was kind of opposite. Nintendo was like, let's make something more powerful than the N64. And when I first heard of the PSP, when I was reading stuff, it sounded to me like they were trying to go for PS1 style, like graphics and sound and whatnot, like basically have a portable PS1. But then I guess they changed their mind at some point in development. We're like, no, we're going to actually make this as good as the PS2, and in some ways better. I think the PSP actually has better special effects than the PS2.
The PSP has a faster central processor than
really?
PS2. Yeah, but the graphic processor in it, I believe, is not as powerful as the Emotion not the Emotion Engine, the actual GPU that's in the PS2.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. So it did surprise me. And then it's, you know, and then they did come out with the whole UMD thing, which is basically a mini disc. And then it kind of, the whole, I guess, scope of things, whatnot, kind of bombed. Besides the fact that you have to buy your games on them. They didn't really, for movies, it didn't do anything.
Yeah, but see, that's because they, I saw so much potential in the UMD. I really did, because it could have been, you know, the movies, if they were to price the movies for like $10, I would have bought
$10. Yep. Yeah, me too.
But any more than that, or, I mean, another thing that they could have done is they could have had like a DVD UMD combo for like $5, $10 more, and I would have bought that.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know why they didn't do that. And actually, there was, I think, one movie that came out with a DVD UMD combo in Japan or something like that, but I don't know. I saw so much potential when they announced the UMD. I was like, oh, finally, they're going to do something with a disc on a portable system, and then it's just, they just, a movie for $20. It's like, I can buy the DVD for $20. Why am I going to buy this little disc that I can only play in my PSP?
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Like, I wouldn't be surprised if the next version of the PSP was actually close to 100% digital download only. I would not be surprised.
And I'm fine with that. I'm much better with that. I can't deal with additional formats. You know, I hate having to rebuy something just so I can play it somewhere else. I don't agree with that at all. But.
And it wouldn't make sense.
The digital download thing, they would have to, I mean, they would have to figure out a way to get their memory sticks cheaper. Yeah. I mean, when you think about the size of games nowadays, I mean, the PSP's games, that little disc holds what, like 1.8 gigs or something like that? It's 1. Wow. Something gigs. And, you know, to have that much on a memory stick, I mean, I have a 4 gig memory stick. I'm going to fit, what, 3 games on there? That's not cool.
No, not at all.
But I mean, I can see that happening, and either that, and the other thing that really got me is that the UMD, they're too damn thick, and they take up too much space.
Yeah.
Like it's like you can get like a binder for your DVDs and for your disc based games, but you know the thickness. I mean, each one is, you know, like a centimeter thick or whatever, and it adds up after a while. Mm-hmm. You know, you get a stack of 10 games sitting on the coffee table or whatever, and it's, you know, it's a few inches high, it's taking up a lot of space.
Exactly. It's not like the DS where you can like literally put probably a handful of games in your pocket and not even realize they're there.
Yeah, yeah. I remember when the Game Boy first came out, and I saw the games and how small they were, and the first thing that came to my head was like, man, this is so cool. It's a little game, like a little game cartridge. And now the DS has taken it to a whole new level. It's like less than a third of the size of what the Game Boy game was. And I was like, man, it's basically just a little flash memory stick.
Yeah, basically.
You know? So.
Where do you guys usually do your portable gaming? Do you use your system basically when you're traveling or when you're, you know, pinching out a loaf or something like that? Or
I don't spend a lot of bathroom time with my portables. It's usually on the couch or on the bed, somewhere where I can lay out and be comfortable, I guess. I don't know. Traveling.
So you're still doing it, though, basically. You can have your console sitting right there, but you're playing your portable system.
Yeah.
I do it while, like, with if I'm watching, like, say I'm watching football on TV or something like that. I mean, where I can kind of like pay attention every once in a while and still catch everything that's going on. You know, that's a good time. And then, you know, vacations. And I do have my my Game Boy Advance SP sitting in a drawer at work for those bathroom moments. I've gone through several role-playing games that way.
Oh, nice.
I've gone through
some marathons.
Yeah, Dragon Warrior 1 and 2 and Phantasy Star 1. They were all on either Game Boy or Game Boy Advance, and I've gone through all those, and I'm working on Dragon Warrior 3 right now. I'm working on that one for like 6 months.
Yeah, I have some friend who will strictly just use their portables for stuff like traveling or... You know, they're going on vacation or those bathroom breaks or whatnot. But I don't. It's fine. Like I've been using mine. Like I can just sit there, play 360, PS3, or my portables, and I'll just. I've yet to really, play my PS3 while I'm or not PSP PSP while I'm actually traveling or in any of those situations where portable game was pretty much meant for. I've just started sitting here on the couch, laying down, and like Jay said, like in some kind of like comfortable position where I'm not have to sit in a chair or whatnot, and watching TV at the same time.
I've definitely found that I cannot do it in the car when somebody's driving. If that car's moving,
I used to be able to.
I can't.
Yeah,
do it.
I used to be able to when I was a kid. Now I can't do it. I did try to do that with my DS back in the day a couple years ago. We went to Niagara Falls and a couple of us were playing Mario Kart, and I was like, I can't do this. This is just ridiculous. And nobody could actually. Everyone was like, yeah, let's just wait.
I don't have that problem. I beat Portrait of Ruin when I was about 3 hours from home today. And then right after I beat Portrait of Ruin, I took it out and I dropped in Dawn of Sorrow and started playing that again.
Really? Yeah, no, I can't do it. I get the same kind of sickness, I guess, that I just kind of, I don't know. I'm not sure if it's maybe because now that I haven't played a portable game system since Game Gear. So I'm not sure if I was just so small I couldn't see out the window at the time when I was playing it, or maybe I was like laying down in the back seat. But now just in my peripheral, seeing everything going by, and I'm just kind of like, oh, I can't handle this.
I'm feeling sick right now.
My fiance has the same problem, and when we were on the way back, I took the first leg of the drive, and she can't play or read or do anything without, you know, while she's in the passenger seat of the car. So, tried once. We went up to Helen for Oktoberfest, and she tried to play Burnout on the PSP, and she played it for about 5 minutes, and then that was about it. She was just like, I can't do this. I'm not feeling. But what you guys were saying, I mean, I think it's a testament to how far portable gaming is coming because, you know, back in the days with the Game Boy, the Game Boy was so far away from like the NES or even the Super NES because they were out at the same time that it was like, well, if I'm not traveling or if I have the option to play my NES or my SNES, then I'm just going to do that.
Exactly.
And nowadays it's like, well, the quality of the games that are coming out on these portables and the production value behind them. Has gotten to a point where it's okay to just go out and buy a game for your PSP and just chill out on the couch and play it, you know?
Yep.
So I definitely think that's just a testament to how far portable gaming has come.
It's come really far.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have one that I have to throw out. Have either of you played or have a Neo Geo Pocket Color?
No.
I've been tempted to pick one up because you can see that you can find them online for about $20 now with like three games and like a pack. And I wouldn't mind picking one up just to have, I think. But in its heyday, no, I stood clear.
Yeah,
it's not anything like a Neo Geo, is it?
It's a Neo Geo. Well, it's not.
Like, is it? It's not the same quality though. It's not like having like a
No. It's that step back thing again, but. But it even had. Did you ever see a Neo Geo CD system with the pad? How it had the. Did you ever see the control pad of a Neo Geo CD?
Mm-hmm. I don't think I did.
Okay. Well, the stick was really unusual, and it took a lot of getting used to because it was almost like having a thumb joystick, yeah. A digital thumb joystick.
It sucked.
Okay. And it was bad. it's so hard to explain. You just have to go on to like Wikipedia or something and look it up. Yeah. But they actually implemented that same joystick style on the portable system. And it just takes a little getting used to, but after you get used to it, man, you can pull off some wicked-ass moves in fighting games.
And how were the fighting games on it? Were they comparable at least? Like, were they like the equivalent of, like, say, playing Super Nintendo version of Street Fighter 2?
No. It's dumbed down, to be sure.
Yeah, it's still dumbed down a little bit from that, but it's close. The animation is what was more – I mean, it wasn't like the sprites were huge or anything like that. It was still smaller sprites, but the animation was good. Because the cartridges could actually hold quite a bit.
Well, how many buttons did the Neo Geo Pocket Color have? What, like
four.
Two on the front and then two in the back? Four. So four total? Yeah, that's – I don't know.
No, I think it was just four on the face. I don't know. I haven't played mine in so long. It's sitting upstairs in a packed in a box. But what was it? SNK versus Capcom Millennium Match. That was the first – SNK Capcom collaboration. It came out on the Neo Geo Pocket, and that was a really good game. It was like a tag team game.
Two buttons.
Never played it.
Oh yeah, it was two buttons.
Yeah,
you're right.
Two buttons.
That'd be difficult to play a fighting game on.
Yeah.
I had a hard enough time playing Street Fighter for Genesis when it first came out before I bought the 6-button controller where you had to hit start, switch from punch to kicks. That was a pain in the ass.
But they released the 6-button controller for it too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Before I got the they released it for just around the same time, I guess.
Yeah. Why did I could swear that it was more than that, but I guess I was wrong. If now that I think about it, if I remember right, the because most of the Neo Geo games had four buttons, and one would be punch, one would be kick, and it depended on how long you had the button. Like if you just tap it, it would be a light punch. If you actually pressed it harder and held it down for like maybe a fourth of a second or whatever, it would actually translate into a hard punch. Mm-hmm. So it was interesting.
But it's definitely a good thing. Like I can't see anyone else entering the market, and if they do, they're stupid.
No, oh yeah, I totally agree because both of the systems are doing very well.
Mm-hmm. True.
So where do you guys think? So kind of capital up. Where do you think Nintendo's next handheld will be? Do you think they'll basically stick with the DS and then just make the jump in technology, like with graphics and everything, or? I think they'll play it safe.
Try and shake up the industry. I think I'm hoping just for an upgrade, really, to get them on par, really. They might try and shake stuff up though, like they would the stylus and whatnot. But
I agree. I think that they're really just going to upgrade.
I think they have enough of a market share to just say, hey, let's just keep doing what we're doing instead of trying to reinvent.
Exactly. I mean, Nintendo is all about innovation and everything, but I mean, they definitely have a formula that works for the portable market. Mm-hmm. And I don't see the touchscreen going anywhere. If anything, they'll make both screens touchscreens.
Yeah.
I mean, if they're gonna make a move, an innovation move, then that's probably what it's gonna be. They're gonna make its system more powerful, and I can see both of the screens being touchscreens, or maybe multiple touch.
Mm-hmm.
One of those two. The PSP, I see another analog stick on the other side. I definitely see that.
Yep.
And I would say two more shoulder buttons or two more buttons somewhere to make it more like a PS controller, but I just don't know where they would put them.
No.
But I definitely see a second stick.
Yeah. I basically think that the PSP is almost a perfect handheld in terms of size, weight, button layout.
I kind of agree. If it had a second stick, it would be flawless. I mean, I would have no problems with the PSP at all. But a lot of people have had the problem where, like you said, with the Siphon Filter, where you have to use the digital buttons to aim, and that can be a pain in the butt.
Sometimes. Oh yeah, totally.
So, that second analog stick is pretty important, I think. And I think that's the only real modification I see them making that they'll definitely make, unless, and they probably have some like weird trick up their sleeve that they're going to bring out, but you know, who knows.
And I can't see either. I don't see a new one of either one of them. Maybe a new DS in the next year, but I can't see another PSP for probably another 2 years.
Well, remember we had the rumor that came out about a new DS, the new model of the DS coming out. Mm-hmm. Or are you talking about a new system altogether?
I'm talking about a new system, not just a new.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't see that happening for the DS right now. It wouldn't make any sense because I mean the DS is still selling ridiculously well. It's like why you know compete with yourself.
Exactly. Right. You don't want to split your market.
Right.
I mean, if they do come out with something new, I just hope that it includes like a cell phone and it's kind of taco shaped. I think that would be great. I think there's really a market for that.
Oh yeah.
When you have Nobody got my there. Fucking N-gauge joke. I was
trying to figure out what taco shaped.
I was gonna compare it to the N-gauge. What the hell was that other retarded one? I think that phone. What the hell was that? Oh, God.
Oh, you know what? I take back what I said about the PSP. I'm going to add to that because I can definitely see them adding a couple more things, like the camera attachment being built in and the GPS attachment being built in.
Yeah, that's true. And what was that other terrible handheld? Oh, the Gizmondo. Sorry.
Oh, my God.
That's done.
That was done before it was released. It was like, why even bothering? You know?
Terrible.
We won't even talk.
I haven't heard anything about that. It's like it launched, and that was the last about it. And what other obscure portables were out there?
A game, the GP2X. I think it's kind of cool. It runs off of Linux. It's like a little multimedia device. What's really cool about it is that it emulates, you know, NES, you know, Super Nintendo, Genesis games.
That
might be something that I'd be interested in. Mm-hmm. Yeah, back when Lick Sang was around. I'm not sure who has it now. Probably like PlayAsia or whatever, but it's I don't know. Right, it's still probably about $200 or so. So it's still a little pricey. But if I were to get another one, it would be that.
I'm gonna.
Cell phones are huge there for games. Yeah. They're selling in Japan. Everyone buys them.
Not as much here though. I don't think.
No, not even close. But I've seen some of the quality. Like some of the. Like you're definitely God of War game on cell phones. I've seen videos, and that looks like it could be like a Super Nintendo game. Like they're getting pretty up there, and this is a cell phone, which I've never played a cell phone game, minus say like a poker game or something like that. But I don't think I can see myself ever getting into it. But there's a market for it for sure.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna throw it.
Yeah, Square Enix is still way behind the cell phone stuff.
Oh yeah, they have tons of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When I heard Parasite Eve was announced, I'm like, oh, sweet, Parasite Eve sequel.
Yeah, and then they said cell phones, and then it would have that week it would have made a who gives a shit at that point.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We still would cry about it weeks later. Hold on a second. What were you saying, Chris?
I'm going to throw a wrench in the Nintendo fanboy mechanism that says that they are so innovative. I'm sorry, but does anybody remember the game.com?
Yeah.
You know the actual first portable system to have a touchscreen?
Did it have a touchscreen on it?
Yeah, it had a touchscreen. It was the first one. It had a touchscreen and it had a modem.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Like so, a 28.8 baud modem or something like
no,
that?
No, I think it was 14.4.
Oh,
shit.
Oh, wow.
That was, it had like, there were very few games out for it, but it came like, Mortal Kombat came out for it, and Duke Nukem came out. I just pulled it up. Duke Nukem 3D came out for the game.com. That must have been hilarious. Resident Evil, actually.
Wow.
Interesting. But yeah, there you go. That's
portable gaming.
Portable gaming. I'm trying to think of other ones. It all started with like the Game & Watch stuff. Remember those?
Yeah.
I remember the Tiger game stuff. Those are cheesy as hell.
Oh, yeah.
They weren't even like, you basically bought a game, it was only the one game, and they were like kind of like black and white, and you could see the frames of animation on the screen. And all it was like, one for the frames of animation, you had to dodge certain things.
Yeah. That's what the Game & Watch was, too. The Game & Watch was the same idea, but it was by Nintendo.
Oh.
And then, did either of you ever see the Wonder Swan?
No.
I always kind of wanted one. They had some decent Final Fantasy releases on there, but it was never ported over here.
Yeah, it's only in Japan, right?
Right.
Yeah, I was wondering about
that. They started out with like a Game Boy-esque one where it was just like a monochrome colored or whatever, and then they moved up to a color version. So it's been around a long time.
Yeah, it's I have to say it's a new world as far as portable goes, and you know, with the release of the DS and the PSP, so.
And it's catching on. People are buying them.
Just a bit, a bit. 50 million.
Yeah, you go to Japan and every single person has a DS.
Yeah, pretty much.
Ridiculous. You're like, you were born, you're given one basically.
With a copy of Brain Age.
It's just a bad idea. Not be a fucking idiot. Oh, yeah. Nintendo's. That's surprising. That's the game that made me buy one for my girlfriend. Like, she'd love this. I think it's gay. As I play it, like.
I have an even better little story. Nintendogs is what made me go out and get a dog. No shit. Because I played Nintendogs. I played it for about a week, and then I started looking for a dog. And
that's I could do this in my life.
But after I got my dog, I never played Nintendogs again. It's kind of weird. It's like, hey, look, I have a real dog. I don't need this anymore.
That's funny.
Do they have one of those with kids first? Nintendo baby.
Nintendo baby. That'd be hilarious. Nintendo child.
People stop.
I think they do. Lisa picked one up at Toys R Us the other day. She was like, "This is like Nintendogs for babies." I'm like, "Oh boy." She's getting bit by the bug. I'm like, "Oh, sure, honey. You got to beat this game first before."
Yeah, the second your girlfriend picks up that game, you're like, "Yeah, we have to have the talk." Yeah. So yeah, is that it?
I don't have much.
No, I'm sorry. I just muted you guys because Crystal came down and said something to me real quick.
Oh, okay.
But I'm looking forward to seeing what happens in the next generation of portable games.
I'm not really looking. I kind of want it to wait because I'm kind of new to it again. So, like I said, PSP, I'm fine the way it is, and kind of hoping nothing new comes out for another couple of years.
They're still pushing the boundaries
of
both systems, so it's going to be a while before we see any new hardware, and I'm fine with that. Let them keep pushing.
Yeah, absolutely. Neither of them has any reason to release a new system right now.
No.
Seriously. Because both of them are doing – they're both doing pretty well. They're both selling hardware. They're both – well, selling software for the most part. Well,
not that the PSP ever was stopped a manufacturer before, but
yeah,
that's true. Well, that's because a lot of people with the PSPs have their, as Jared put it, custom firmware and software on their systems. So
I like having options.
Yes,
he just likes to get trial versions of games first. It's no big deal.
Hey now,
yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. Hey now. Nothing wrong with that.
My shit.
Hey, speaking of that. Jeff, did you play the God of War demo yet?
No, I haven't received it yet.
Dear God, it's good.
I'm hoping VSV is—he actually sent that out. And if you did, thanks a lot, man. And hopefully, it'll get here soon and I'll give it a try. I've been dying to play it.
Yeah, you need to.
Is the demo? Is that when was that after or before they decided to open up the PSP to 333?
It was after.
It was after. So it isn't. It's running in 333 then.
Yes, I believe so.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Because I was watching a comparison video on one of the sites, and they were
showing I saw that.
I was wow, makes that much of a difference?
It does. It's crazy.
Shit. It's like a different system.
It really is. Anyway, this is about the time we would normally go into new releases, but...
What's coming out next week, Chris?
nothing, so we're going to move on.
All right.
Okay.
All right, shit coming out next week, so we're going to go straight to email. Jason.
Emails. Email. We got a few emails. We got one from Ricky Duty, my buddy Eamon.
I saw yesterday.
Oh, did you? Did you hooked up with him?
Yeah, he lives in Minnesota, and remember I mistook that I said that he lives in Florida because he used to live in Florida, and he actually came down to visit family at the time that we were still there. So we got together and we had dinner.
All right. Well, Eamon's a little pissed at me. He sent this very scathing letter. After Jason failed miserably to let Pocket Otaku know about the new episode being up in Christopher's absence, I think he should be fired. What do you guys think? Should I be fired? Me, being the loyal listener that I am, I let the site know. So I should take his place. All right, go for it. I, Jeff, and Chris, I got your backs, but Jason's? Not so much. Oh, and Jason, keep practicing in Rock Band. After I come back from Florida on the 28th, we'll have a drum duel online. I have to let you know, though, I am number 19 out of 5,060 on the leaderboards for the song Foreplay, A Long Time by Boston. So, good luck. Oh, jeez. Dude, I don't even think I could beat that on hard. Oh.
Well, I got my new Trump ad in, so I'm going to start trying.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Anyway, next.
Also, guys, screw the podcast time. If people complain, they can fast forward to what they want to listen to or just stop listening. No, I have fun listening. They can't stop listening?
No, don't stop listening.
No.
I have fun listening to you guys bullshitting while I'm at work, so I don't see the time as a bother. Cool. All right.
Cool.
Well, thank you, Aim.
That is true. Rick yeah, sure. We have the option. If you want, you can go to the website, check out where all the things are, all of our features and timelines for everything. And
yeah.
If you think we're babbling on, like right now, you can fast forward it.
Babble. Paul Convery, Ravenblade. Jeff, Jason, Chris, hope it's going well, guys. Last Friday here in the UK, Wipeout Pulse came out for the PSP, which I picked up along with Exit. Hadn't played Wipeout since way back in the PS1 days, but Pulse is just class. It's that simple. Still the same old Wipeout. Can't believe how well the Wipeout gameplay has aged. Few new things and better graphics, etc., but it's still super fast, futuristic, unforgiving game that the old games were. And Europe actually got this one before America. What the fuck? Exit I got for £7 pre-owned. New nice. PSP game is normally about £30 here, so like $60 US. Good God.
Wow.
Yeah, shit.
And it's a great little puzzle. Having fun with that as well. Anyway, Merry Christmas, guys. Have a great time over the holidays. We will, buddy.
You too.
Thanks, man.
All right. Well, those were the emails, pretty much. I mean, we had some stuff on the question of the week stuff, so we might want to hop into that. What was our question of the week last week?
What was our question of the week?
Question of the week was a weird one. How would you do your own video game award show?
Oh, that's right. People actually wrote in with this?
Yeah. I didn't expect any responses with this.
Because I don't have a fucking answer.
All right, I'm gonna say this right now, guys. This listeners, this is something that we just pulled out of our asses because we didn't have another idea.
Pretty much. But, yeah. No, we had a couple people come through in spades. They had some really good ideas. Jeff Posley. Now, I know Spike TV screwed up horribly, and I know the show was less interesting than watching paint dry, but what can we expect from the media when they have done this before? Let me clue you in. Remember that famous internet show, Pure Pwnage? And they actually do say pwnage. Anyway. They made that show because they wanted to show the life of gamers. Seriously. It was at a conference when they were talking about making the show and whatnot, sponsored by DivX, and yeah. So, what do you do? How about you don't do anything, or don't repeat what we already are getting? Make a website where you're tracked by IP, by email, etc., so that you only have one single vote. Make the categories based on top games in the genre from the overall rating, and go from there. The top game on the list gets Game of the Year. Top racing game gets Top Racer. See, it would be easier and 10 times better to let the gamer playing the games choose their Game of the Year and to let all the backgrounds collide to see what happens. The issue is limiting it so companies and people on the other side can't vote. That would be really tough. Spike TV was sponsored by Microsoft, and 90% of the Game of the Year on their awards were on the 360. It seemed like they were just shuffling the same five or six titles around and calling it a new award. Question, why the hell did Mario Galaxy get Best Action Game, and Stranglehold wasn't even nominated?
Because Stranglehold's a piece of shit.
Well, you said it.
I'm not going to say that, but...
Well, it's not a piece of shit, but I mean, you can't... It's not even in the same realm as Super Mario Galaxy.
No. I have to agree with you there. It really isn't. Mario Galaxy is just... It should have gotten... I mean, I have no
should have been nominated, at least.
At least.
I don't even know. I think, okay, if you're going to nominate Stranglehold, why the hell wasn't Heavenly Sword in there?
Yeah.
Or, like, I could probably name about five action games that were better than Stranglehold. Why wasn't Lost Planet in there? You know, like, there's a Crackdown.
Mm-hmm.
There's, like, a bunch of games that could have fit that. Yeah,
but that wasn't really an action game. It was more an adventure game, but, you know, same idea.
So what it kind of sounds like he wants to do is just keep the general categories, have one mass like voting session just from gamers, not people in the industry, not media.
The only reason I disagree with that is because the whole fanboy card comes into play. If that was actually true, the only games that would win anything were Halo, Mario, Metroid, and like Smash Brothers Brawl and Gran Turismo and GTA.
And
those
would
be like the only games that ever win. Metal Gear Solid, maybe.
That might be the point for a show like Spike TV. Mm. And that might be fine for that sort of thing. Where it's not like serious awards show. It's more of a I don't know. I don't want to go reverse into last week. But, you know, it's meant for fanboys, really.
Yeah, you know, basically.
It dumbs down the whole industry.
Yeah.
People are not going to like my answer to this question. Anyway, continue.
All right. Ricky Duty.
Again.
Question of the week.
He's our most loyal emailer. Did you notice that?
Yeah. Oh, he's awesome.
He answers every question of the week.
Without fail. And he's like posting stuff online. He's pimping us and shit. Thanks, man.
That's right.
All right. If he had his own game award show, number one, I would have some cool artists for music performance, like metal bands that we geeks listen to, or even bands like Project X who play game music. That would be cool. All right.
Mini bosses.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Number two, the nominees would be actual games that have been nominated from E3, Tokyo Game Show, and other cons, plus good games that have gotten pretty good scores all around the board. Number three, the way the voting system will work will be half media, half gamers. Of course, there will be some awards like Player's Choice or Media's Choice, which will be 100% based on what the player or media voted, respectively. Number four, I wouldn't have hot chicks in bikinis. I can't even read this anymore. Why wouldn't you have hot chicks in bikinis? I'm kidding. All right, I wouldn't have hot chicks in bikinis or whatever. Who wants to see that? I do. I would actually love to have these hot chicks that play the games professionally. They're hot, and we like seeing that instead of some cheap-ass whore model. Okay, I'll give you that.
That's true.
I wouldn't mind a little of both. That would work for me.
All
right. Looks like Ubisoft female clan name. They're all pretty hot.
Oh, yeah.
Ragdolls?
Ragdolls, there you go.
Yeah.
Number five, I love this one here. He says, I would have a cool host. Yeah, that's a good idea. That is an actual gamer as well, not
Sorry,
Sammy J.
Amy, but the three of us are busy with this. Yeah. We can't really host. I'd love to, but...
Even though I do like Sammy J in games, I don't think he's fit to host a Game Awards show. Duly noted. I agree. Number six, I would keep Hollywood actors as far away as possible from the event. Also a good idea. Number seven, the awards show would be... awards would be golden Atari controllers. Classic.
Nice. that is a good one. I like that one a lot.
Maybe get some money back in Atari's pocket.
Really?
Yeah, they need it. All right, number eight. One of the performances will be that band from Harmonix that kept showing off Rock Band in all the events. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
I think Riccio and the crew should get up there. Anyway, number nine. There would be a certain part in the event to show off my awesomeness in Rock Band and how I'm ranking in the leaderboards. Yeah.
Oh man. Hey, Ricky. There are still 18 people in front of you. You know that, right?
That's right.
Just making sure. Okay, cool.
And last I checked, Ricky, you were actually number 20.
Somebody
beat
you up. Denied.
Yeah. All right, guys. So I'm hoping one of you two has some ideas on how to improve the situation.
I have an idea, yeah.
What you got?
Go for it, Jeff. I'll let you go first.
If I were to do an award show, I would totally redo it 100%, the whole structure, in terms of I'd do it more like the Oscars. Like every single award show or anything, it's always best racing game, best action game, best puzzle game. Why don't they have an award show where they have best art direction?
I know.
Best original soundtrack, best director, best, because there's directors of video games, like they, you know, best storyline, best, like going to more stuff like that, like best programming team, best
Make a broader range of categories is what you're saying.
Exactly. Like best use of whatever. Like they could, instead of just putting in these generic categories, have it so the actual developers themselves get some kind of recognition. Because the only recognition the developers get with these awards are basically when they have like the whole game of the year. It's like, okay, people know who Ken Levine is because he is the basically is the director of BioShock, the designer, lead designer, and like Cliffy B, the designer.
Too. Yeah,
exactly. And Jade Raymond, everyone, you know, Assassin's Creed Jade Raymond. What about giving awards? Do it in the same structure as a movie where the people who put together that game, that movie, there's nominations for. Like best cinematography in like a movie, why can't you have stuff like that for a video game? Because they're basically at that point where there is that many people on a project that do the same kind of stuff.
I agree.
And it's just kind of, I don't know if they're just thinking, hey, we'll just put in best race game, best graphics. They don't even have best graphics and best sound. I don't think they did.
I think they had best soundtrack, but... Yeah, certainly not best graphics.
Yeah, best original. I think they had a. Did they have a best original score or something like that?
I don't think so.
No,
they should have. They like
because most of the people that tuned into the show didn't know what a score was, other than I got a high score.
Exactly.
Point taken.
But that's why, like, I believe the award show, or that's not even a show. I don't think this is televised. Is the Dice one, the one that's hosted by Jay Moore? mm-hmm. like every year. It's actually a developer's one where actually the developers vote yep. on.
Oh, that's cool.
That's really cool because it's like if you won Game of the Year in that, you're thinking like, wow, my peers really respect yeah. this game. See yeah. it as a good game, right?
Yeah.
So that's what I'd rather see it like that. More categories that go along with the actual production of the game and stuff like that rather than just having best action game, best fighting game.
Yeah. I hate to interrupt, but Jeff pretty much took the words right out of my mouth too. I would love to see more differentiated categories, you know, best score or, you know, best editing or this or that.
Yeah.
Make it more like the Oscars. And he also touched on DICE as well, you know, which is all the nominations come from the developer community at large and not the media, not, you know, gamers not or anything
gamers.
Like that.
No offense to the gamers, but...
No. You know, I think there's a place for the Spike TV kind of awards, you know. That's where you're going to see, you know, best racing game, you know, best fighter, stuff like that. But I think I'm more interested in the behind-the-scenes stuff and people getting credited for, you know, the work that they put in. And maybe not exactly. the final product, I guess, you know? I don't know. Aside from that, yeah, I would have hot chicks in bikinis, but I'd make sure that they were gamers.
Yeah.
And Ricky, fair yeah, enough. You can
they be
in my award
like
show
the first
too.
Level Contra with one life before they can step on stage. Mm-hmm. They have to know the Konami code.
That's right, they have to know the Konami code. I was just thinking that.
That's about all I have to add to it, I guess. I'm just going to – I just want this whole Spike TV thing to just go away. I'm done with it.
Well, I'm going to get hate mail over mine probably.
All right.
I have to say. Whereas I agree with what you guys are saying, and I don't – I think both of you have very good ideas, and that would be – those are – so a lot of – actually, a lot of those things were things that I didn't even think about. The one thing that pisses me off about awards is the player's choice bullshit because – that's exactly what it is. It's bullshit. It's not player's yeah. choice. It's it's fanboy's choice. That's what it is.
It's what I know choice.
Exactly. That's what it is. And I think that like if you're going to do an overall player's choice game of the year category, mm-hmm. then the people that vote have to prove in some way, whether it be entering the serial number of their systems or whatever, that they have all three of those systems or each of the competitors, that they've played all. And I mean, because there's nothing that I mean, player's choice, you know, player's choice award, Halo 3, because you know yeah. everybody who has Halo exactly. 3 is going to go vote for Halo 3, you know.
And even people who probably don't have Halo 3 who
exactly
picked up, they say some 7-year old kid who's like saving up his money is like, I know Halo 3 is supposed to be awesome, Halo 3.
Yeah, right.
And then you know,
or Halo 2 is awesome, so I'm going to pick Halo 3.
Yeah, exactly.
No. See, that's. And that's the one thing that really gets to me, and it's, and that's why you know a lot of some people know one of the sayings that I say is, "Real gamers aren't fanboys of consoles, or you know, they're fanboys of games." If you only have a 360 and that's all you play and that's all you know, and you hate Sony and all that shit, you don't deserve to vote for Game of the Year, as far as I'm concerned. So there you go.
Yeah.
That's my thought. I'm sure I'll get hate. Over that.
No, I don't think you.
And if like, you do, I'll send them hate mail back because they're messed up.
Awesome.
I'm 100% with
that
you.
Email address is chris@interactivedistractions.com. There you go.
Yeah. No, I agree. They should not be any.
And they, you know, it's not like they can't track the serial number because I'm pretty sure that they don't, you know, they don't check each serial number. It's probably like the key to, you know, different PC programs that you get. It's probably just some sort of formula that they have worked out, and you enter in the number, and, you know, the formula checks that number to determine whether or not it's a real number.
Yeah.
You know, and it's probably the way they do it. And they could probably, you know, an award show like that could probably get Nintendo, Sony, and Microsoft to let them know how they determine whether or not a serial number is correct.
And then, I don't know if it could actually work. I mean, it's a logistical nightmare. And how
it,
many
yeah,
people
it
are
would
really going to go so
be.
Far as to enter all their serial
or
numbers online?
Yeah.
Just to, yeah. Hypothetically,
yeah.
Yes,
this is definitely a hypothetical situation.
Yeah.
But
I think it's
in general,
world,
I mean, I think.
Alternative.
And this is hypothetical in ways to say if the public were to vote, this is the way it should be done.
Right.
Because I don't think the public should be voting at all. Because just. It should be.
Because 90% of the people out there that vote for these kinds of award shows. Are fanboys that
yeah.
know nothing else but mm-hmm. but
and Spike TV is the bubblegum version of like any kind of award show, right?
Yeah.
So I mean that's like
yeah.
Yeah. I would like to see one that was more based on the like more real like, you know, probably even voted by some kind of Academy of Game or game
right.
developers or something like that.
Yeah, because it's not like I get to vote on the Oscars or anything.
Right, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And actually, I like the voting by peers thing the best. That was a really good idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's kind of cool. They do that. But the problem is, I think with the dice thing, you actually have to register with dice or something like that, because there's this big stink because Capcom wasn't nominated for anything last year.
Oh, really?
And the reason why is because apparently they have to – I'm not sure if you have to pay a fee or something like that, but you have to basically be a part of this whole community. And they'd have to pay money, but because of that, they basically no Capcom game was taken into consideration. And I think that kind of sucked because I think last year was Okami, right?
Okami. And Okami should have been nominated for tons of stuff.
I liked it better than Zelda Twilight Princess, so.
Art direction, sound, graphics, I mean, just in general. It was just an incredible game.
But who knows, we'll see it. I don't think we will for a long time. Like, video games are huge, but I don't think the people watching it have the total understanding of it. I still think they look at it as being games and not on this whole production level like movies. They look at it like, yes, it's big revenue stream.
It's getting there, though.
But, yeah, it is getting there.
It's getting there, I think.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, thanks to Jeff and Ricky for your answers. I was very surprised at those. Next week's question of the week? Jason, you made this one up.
I'm thinking about it here. I mean, a couple of days, it's Christmas here. And what happens on Christmas? We get games and shit, usually. I mean, so what we want to find out is what Santa brought you. So send us an email. Send us pictures. I don't care what.
Send us whatever. Send us an audio.
Yeah, send us an audio. Oh, yeah, we got to pimp that. I've got the audio thing up on the site.
I totally forgot about that.
If you want to send a voice message, if you want to send a voice message to us, there's a link on our site that says "Send me an audio." It's a cool little Flash-based app that lets you record directly from your browser. Just plug in a mic, and you're good to go. It sends directly to us. You don't have to worry about emailing or anything. Very slick.
That's right.
So if you want to answer that way, that's totally cool. But once again, the general question of the week is: what did Santa bring you? Let us know.
That's right. Let us know.
Let us know what you're playing. It's going to be a lot of free time for games and turkey and family.
And turkey and ham. And for my family, pasta. And
I'm so hungry. Let's stop talking about food.
I know.
It's about dinner time. all right, guys. Well, I think that's it for this week. You got anything to add?
No, I'm good. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Christmas.
Happy New Year. And all that stuff. Actually, we'll be able to show before New Year's, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
What was it? Happy Chrismahana Kwanzadon. There we go.
Nice. How long did you figure that one out? You write it down? And
no, actually, it's a saying that one of our friends, I think she brought it up, and she said it. I thought it was hilarious. So,
you don't offend anybody but atheists. That's how it works.
Exactly.
I think happy holidays just covers everything.
Happy.
These are holidays. Whether you celebrate them or not, you're probably getting it off from work. So.
That's right.
As far as that's concerned.
All right, so now we're rambling. So
yeah, we are.
If you're still around, thanks for listening, and tell us what Santa brought you. Email at interactivedistractions.com or send us an audio. We'd love to hear it. Mm-hmm. All right,
and
so
we will play
until
on
next
show.
Week. Thank you very much, and see you next week.
Bye, guys.
Have a good one.